about.
So easy. You gotta put it in perspective.
I'm gonna get you drunk. Get you drunk off my lady hump. My hump. My hump. My lovely lady hump.
I don't even know what that means.
No one knows what it means, but it's provocative.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Have you tried listening to the always entertaining and frequently informative Kevin and Bean Show?
Come on. Have you tried listening to the always entertaining and sometimes informational?
So what'd you do at these radio stations? On air?
I don't have what is widely considered to be an on-air personality.
Could be a crackhead that got hold to the wrong stuff.
Well, I would be lying to you if I didn't say that there were moments that I thought to myself, whore, this isn't such a bad way to earn a living.
And now...
Well, I guess I just have my first taste of the filthy side of this business.
Our feature presentation.
Good morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Wednesday, the 13th of April.
Yeah, it is.
What's happening?
What is happening? I'm sick of reading about Kobe Bryant.
Oh, does it bother you that one of the best players in all of sports is saying goodbye?
No, I think I'm not saying he doesn't deserve the press. I'm just saying I'm tired of how many articles I've seen about it. Because you know me, I got to read everything.
Yeah, sure. That's the problem.
Yeah,
the problem is that Bean reads every single thing that comes out. Most of us, a few things hit us.
Yeah.
And we see it, and it's great, but we don't see everything by far. Yes. So read less.
I know. That's what I need to do. I need to learn how to push away from the information table. That's what I need to do.
Especially if you're already overwhelmed with that.
I'm overwhelmed. It's too much. It's too much. I saw a story today about like a $25,000 gold encrusted hat with the number 24 on it, and I was just thinking, okay, all right, that's enough. Let's say goodbye.
That's a put you over the top.
Say goodbye. Don't let the door hit you on the way out. That's what it is. But anyway, we will talk more about that ourselves because apparently it's a thing today coming up on the show. But first, I have an amazing story that, Kevin, you won't give two squats about, but I think I got Allie in my corner on this one because this is a beautiful story.
I like that you're shooting for 50%.
Right. This is a beautiful story that is so beautifully written that it was a joy to read this story.
Kevin's out.
No, because sometimes you just see something that's so well written that it's just, you just want to roll around in it. You hope the article never ends because it's so well done. An octopus has made a brazen escape from the National Aquarium in New Zealand by breaking out of its tank, slithering down a 50-meter drain pipe, and disappearing into the sea. In scenes reminiscent of Finding Nemo, Inky, a New England octopus, has
Inky.
Made his.
That's why you like it, Inky.
Has made his dash for freedom after the lid of his tank was accidentally left slightly ajar. Staff believe that in the middle of the night, while the aquarium was deserted, Inky clambered to the top of his cage, down the side of the tank, and traveled across the floor of the aquarium. Could you just picture this? This is like Ocean's 11 stuff, man.
He mapped it out.
And do you think, like in my mind, I'm wondering. Every night when they close that aquarium down, is Inky looking at the top of his aquarium going, oh, man,
one of these
days. They're going to slip. They're going to slip, and I'm going to be ready for it.
One day I'm out.
Rob Yarrell, national manager of the aquarium in New Zealand, said octopuses are famous escape artists, but Inky really tested the waters here. I don't think he was unhappy with us or lonely, as octopus are solitary creatures.
Maybe you should reconsider that.
Right?
But
he hated you, dude.
He did.
But he's such a curious boy. I would want to know what's happening on. He would want to know what's happening on the outside. That's just his personality. I love that they're psycho evaluating this octopus as to why he escaped.
He didn't want to go, but there are things that he needed to see outside.
He's a curious boy.
He just couldn't get back in.
He's got a whole life to live.
He wanted to get back into the key. Very sad.
One theory is that Inky slid across the aquarium floor, a journey of 3 or 4 meters, and then sensing freedom was at hand, into a drain pipe that led directly to the sea. Now, do you believe that Inky sensed freedom was at hand, and do you believe that he knew the drain pipe would lead to the sea?
Yeah, I think so, because this guy's a dick.
You think Inky's a dick?
No, he's the guy that's telling the story.
Telling the story?
Yeah, he's a dick.
The drain pipe was 50 meters long and opened under the waters of Hawke's Bay on the east coast of New Zealand's North Island. By the way, 50 meters, that must have seemed like an eternity for poor little Inky. Like, he's got to be in that pipe going, how long is this thing going to go on?
I hope he packed, you know, the stick with the handkerchief like the hobos
sure.
do.
Sure.
I
don't think that's a real...
Be
I don't
nice.
Think that's... Another possible escape route could have involved Inky squeezing into an open pipe at the top of the tank, which led under the floor to the drain. He's like that, again, going back to Ocean's 11, he's like that tiny little Chinese guy who could fit in a suitcase. When we came in the next morning and his tank was empty, I was really surprised. The staff and I have been pretty sad, but then this is Inky, and he's always been a bit of a surprise octopus.
That crazy Inky. He's always got us on our toes.
Race Jenkinson, exhibits keeper at the National Aquarium, said he was absolutely certain that Inky was not taken or stolen. I understand the nature of octopus behavior very well. I have seen octopus on boats. I have seen octopus on boats slip through bilge pumps, and security here is too tight for anyone to take in the Inky. And why would they? All right, here's where it really gets interesting. Because octopuses have no bones, they are able to fit into extremely small spaces and have been filmed squeezing through gaps the size of coins.
Really?
They are also understood to be extremely intelligent and capable of using tools. An Island Bay Marine Education Center in Wellington, an octopus was found to be in the habit of visiting another tank overnight to steal crabs and then returning to its own.
No.
There's no way this is happening. According to another at the center, an octopus named Ozymandias was thought to have broken a world record for opening a jar before it was released into the ocean. I need a whole other article just on that day. Like, what? How was he involved in a Guinness World Record of opening a jar, and then why was he released after that? You got a gold mine, son. You don't let him go. Anyway, it goes on and on. There's another 20,000 words, but I'm just telling you that the aquarium has no plans to step up security as a result of the escape because Inky was one out of the bag, but the staff are now increasingly aware of what octopuses can do. So, ladies and gentlemen, let's hear it for Inky. Right? I hope he's happy out there in the ocean, man. And I wonder if, I mean, wouldn't it be unbelievable if I came to you in 6 months and told you that Inky had broken back in?
Yeah.
Wouldn't that just be crazy?
He was back in the cage. Nick, the guy came in, he was just, there's Inky.
What? What if Inky's like hiding behind a door right now? He's like, I got him. Look at him. They're writing articles about me. This is happening.
He can read too?
He can read.
That's pretty
there's
cool.
Nothing Inky right. can't do.
Best story ever.
It's pretty good, right?
Except for the drive-thru yesterday. Except for that one. That was a good story, too.
That's right.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
For what it's worth, I think you're an asshole.
Agreed. Oh. Mm-hmm. I'm fine with that. On today's Kevin and Bean Show, we have tickets for the LA Clippers playoffs. We have Fluffy. Gabriel Iglesias will be in studio. We have Matt Money Smith talking about Kobe Bryant in his last
game. Oh, good. I haven't heard much about him.
Maybe you read less. Maybe that's on you.
I hope there's a lot to be said. I hope there's some news on him.
Plus, we have tickets for tonight's game. But we're going to do it with you're going to have to come up with a Kobe haiku.
What?
A haiku.
A what?
A haiku.
Huh?
Haiku.
Okay.
Later on in today's show. Ike Barinholtz is going to be here talking about the Mindy Project. And
he's in Suicide Squad, too, by the way.
He's in Suicide Squad 2, by the way.
Well,
take two.
I guess what I'm saying is...
This
is probably the last time.
He's going to come in because he's going to be way too big a star after this.
Is there an echo?
Is there an echo?
Echo.
Echo.
Kevin's a dick.
Kevin's a dick.
Oh, almost had him.
I'll do it. And Coachella tickets, too. Coachella! In the 6 o'clock hour, so we'll take a break. We'll come back with the show Biz Beat Night. 6.7 K Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:53.
Allie is here once again in for Ralph Garman with our first look at the show Biz Beat on a Wednesday. What's new? What's happening? What's the latest?
I remember when Dave tried to beat the world record for watching TV, but
yes.
You guys screwed up. Didn't have the right person there.
That was the first time.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Then the second time.
Same.
Same.
I think the second time was a... Which time was it that we didn't have video running continuously at all 100 hours? That was one of them. And then I think the second time was some sort of paperwork.
Some kind of paperwork snafu.
Yeah. So he did it. I mean, he did it for reals and did not get credit for it and did not make it into the
book. He broke the record twice by about 20 hours each time. And neither time he got credit for it.
That is just sad.
Yep.
Because the original record, which was 92 hours back in March, which was set by five Austrians who watched continuously, was just beaten by a man from Brooklyn, Alejandro A.J. Fragoso. He now holds the Guinness World Record for the longest TV binge watching at 94 hours.
Again,
Dave, not Dave as much as Dave.
Dave was 100 20
Dave
years
made
ago.
100.
Well, this guy, it lists what shows he was watching. He watched back-to-back episodes of Game of Thrones, Curb Your Enthusiasm, Battlestar Galactica, Twilight Zone, Bob's Burgers, and Adventure Time. I like this guy.
Allie, I feel like this is a record you could break with all your binge watching.
Absolutely.
You know, think about the shows you've never seen. Like we were talking earlier today, you've never seen Breaking Bad, for instance. Right? That's like 60 hours right there.
You're right.
I mean,
yeah.
I think you got to go for it.
Do you think?
Yes.
I think you do it on a weekly basis anyway. You might as well be in the book.
Right.
Well, I did just do like a mini marathon of Catastrophe a couple days ago.
Okay. So,
but that was only 3 hours.
I mean,
but it felt
been,
good. I felt good after.
Sure. You were still ready to keep going.
You've been in training your whole life for this.
Well, you're right.
You have to look at this dude in Brooklyn. How many hours did he do?
94.
94.
Oh, loser.
We could so beat that.
All right. And to have doctors on site constantly monitoring you.
Oh, we didn't have that either.
Oh, you didn't?
No, of course not.
No.
Poor Dave.
Dave was on his own. Most of the time, we just left him there by himself. Good luck, man. See you later.
Oh, Allie, we can hook it up. We can find a location for you, get sponsors, do a broadcast, the whole deal. Just say the word.
You are aware how much I nap, right? There's no way this would work.
Not allowed.
But I love sleeping so much.
I think you love TV more than you love sleep, though.
You know what?
Let's do it.
I don't.
Okay.
I love sleeping so much
What's
more than
TV. What's the
record
for napping?
That I will beat it.
Let's
I
try
will
that
beat
one.
It.
I think that's called death, Kevin.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I don't want to beat it.
Yeah.
Why don't you go ahead and just mark that. Use that for a drop.
I absolutely need that tape, Chip.
Hey, remember when we mentioned that Harrison Ford's jacket was up for auction?
Yes.
His jacket from The Force Awakens. Well, it has gone for some big bucks on a website called If Only. So people would write in, say how much they were going to bid on it. How much do you think his jacket, mind you, from just The Force Awakens? This isn't from early Star Wars. This is just from The Force Awakens movie.
$5 million.
Oh, no.
Too high?
Yes, way too high. I was shocked at what he got for it. So
$12.50.
A little more. Bean?
I have to recuse myself.
All right.
So, hey, man, my app.
Right.
Okay. $191,000, which isn't bad at all. And he gave it to two causes close to his heart that fund research for epilepsy because his daughter, who's 25, Georgia, she has epilepsy and is treated at one of the New York City hospitals that he gave the money to. He also signed the jacket as well.
All right.
Oh, so he defaced it.
I don't know if you would say defaced it.
Some people would say increase the value of it.
Increase the value, absolutely.
It's so interesting because, I mean, he wore that jacket in a movie a year ago, but I guess the thinking is Star Wars Force Awakens is going to be a movie that people are going to be interested in forever, and that 25 years from now you got yourself a real Hollywood collectible.
Yeah.
That's going to be worth even more money than he paid for it.
Absolutely. Remember we were talking about the follow-up to The Kingsman? They're doing The Kingsman, The Golden Circle.
Yes, can't wait.
All the people we love are back in it. Well, now a very interesting casting. Elton John.
What?
All right.
Elton John.
All right.
Okay. Bean, Elton John.
Yeah, I heard.
Yeah. It's weird.
What's he going to do? I mean, is he... I guess we don't know yet. But
we don't know yet.
He's not an actor, so...
What if he's a villain? Wouldn't that be amazing?
Okay.
Elton John just strolling in. He just busts out a song and then people die from his voice.
The singing voice kills.
You're welcome, Kingsman.
I like it.
All right. All of these stars were born on today, April the 13th. Actor Ron Perlman is 66. Actor Ricky Schroeder.
Ricky.
46. I wrote my first and only fan letter to him.
Is that right?
Yeah. Never heard back. Anyway, Aaron Lewis, singer, 44. Actress Allison Williams is 28. Bean, you love her.
I do.
Don't you always think of that one scene, though, when you hear her name?
Unfortunately, yes.
Yeah. If you don't know what I'm talking about, Google it. Singer Lou Bega, is 41. I'm Allie McKay, and for Ralph Garman, walking the showbiz beat.
How about Coachella tickets right now for somebody listening to the Kevin and Bean Show? How about that?
Yes. Okay. That would be good, Bean.
You approve?
I approve.
We are giving them away right now on K-Rock. If you want to call us at 1-800-520-1067, you will have to earn them. We are playing our game Listeneroki. This is where you sing a song and somebody wins. A song from somebody who's on the bill this weekend. So it's really wide open for you. If you want to call up and do a little Welcome to the Jungle, that's fine. You want to do a little Drunk Girls by the LCD Sound System or a little Bow Down by Ice Cube. Whatever you want to sing from somebody who's playing this weekend at Coachella, that's what you sing. And then we pick a winner and somebody wins tickets to all 3 days this weekend of Coachella. That's a pretty good deal right there.
Yes. Yes, it is.
All right. 1-800-520-1067. Good luck. That's one of the many ways you can reach us here at the Kevin DeBean Show. Of course, we've got the Facebook page. You can always leave a message on. You can tweet. You can call the Kevin DeBean Afro line if you want. You can always text the show at the number 2KROQ. Or the old-fashioned 20th century way of doing business, as I've told, is something called email. And we did get a lot of email this past week or so, a lot of reaction to things that we have talked about on the show. And I wanted to bring up a couple of good points that people made. Jill writes in, all right, I laughed way too hard when I heard about Stoppy on the podcast. Now, Stoppy, for folks who didn't hear, is my doorstop that I named Stoppy. And we got into a whole conversation about people who name inanimate objects. And it turns out a lot of people name a lot of things. Jill says, and you'll appreciate this so much, Allie, my dad named a plant on his porch Bob. He explained Bob, like Robert. His name is Robert Plant. Well like played, it. Sir, says Jill. Here's a podcast listener named Tony regarding your conversation on naming inanimate objects. I named my road bike Michelle Obama because she's black and she looks good in red. Okay? Here's a listener who writes to me about once a week to complain that I incorrectly say laying down instead of lying down. And I told him I'd do my best, but it's a weak spot of mine, and I make that mistake often, and I feel bad. I know, right?
Dude, nobody pays more attention to that to Bean.
He says, first of all, this is your weekly reminder that you're not laying down, you're lying down. I thought we had a deal, and I'm very disappointed in you.
Does he say I expected better?
He did. He did. I'm not mad.
Right.
He's I'm disappointed.
Right.
Secondly, I have also done the sound bath at the Integraton.
Nope.
Were you here the day we talked to the lady who'd done the sound bath, Kevin?
Yes.
Okay. It's BS,
you
of course.
Not.
He was or he was not?
He wasn't.
I don't think you were either. Usually, I think it was Monday.
I just say yes, just as to cover myself.
This is a thing that we learned about through that Gwyneth Paltrow interview where you go into a room and they clean you with sound.
No.
Yes, they clean you with sound. I remember the original story, though, and thinking, that's such BS.
Well, we had a listener on who'd been there,
all right,
and she thought it was cool. Well, anyway, this listener says, it's BS, of course, but by talking about the stupid sound bath, you're burying the lead, because the Integraton is the real story. It was built by a guy named George Van Tassel, who claimed to have been abducted by aliens from the planet Chantia, who gave him the plans to build this machine that could rejuvenate human tissue, reverse gravity, and allow people to time travel. Why didn't we know anything about the Integraton?
That's awesome.
But, of course, he died before he finished it, so it doesn't work. And apparently it's now only good for sound baths and acoustic demonstrations. Humanity's loss, I guess. I'm surprised you haven't heard of it. It's been there for decades. So he's just piling on, man. He's had enough of me. By the way, he wrote, you're burying the lead, and spelled lead wrong, L-E-A-D, and it's really L-E-D-E. So believe me, I'm writing a strongly worded letter back to him.
And was he calling it Integraton?
Is that not what it is?
No, it's an Integratron.
Integratron.
Maybe it's not.
Here's a follow-up. Now, Kevin, I don't know if you were here the day I came up with a genius idea, really one of my best, that we should have a deal where you only can die of natural causes on your birthday.
Yeah, that was the dumbest thing I ever heard.
No, it's a great idea.
Dumbest thing I ever heard.
It's a perfect idea. Look.
Stupid.
And I've given this a lot of thought, and I think we need to implement this somehow. Because if you have any kind of health problems at all, you got cancer, you got, God forbid, pneumonia, whatever's going on in your life, you know if you survive your birthday, that actual day, then you're cool for another year. You're not going to die of natural causes.
First of all,
still get hit by a car, you can still get shot, but you're not going to die of natural causes.
Could I just interrupt for a second?
Yes.
You know this isn't possible.
I think we just need to agree that this is how it's going to be from now on.
Right, but it isn't going to be. It's actually not possible.
Dear Kevin and Bean, two things. One, I am totally with you on the happy birthday death option. It's effing genius, he says. This is from Ted. Number two, Allie is full of crap claiming she doesn't worry about death. All she ever yaps about is about being murdered on a hiking trail on a Bumble date. I'm not sure they're called Bumble dates.
That is an app.
Is it?
Yeah.
Bumble?
Yeah.
Sounds pretty paranoid to me, I'm just saying. That's
I only think Ted about says. Death when I think about hiking and cruises. And uh-huh. I don't think about those because I never go on them. So your theory is incorrect, sir.
I don't know. I feel like you worry a lot. You watch a lot of Dateline NBC, and it seems like murder is a big part of your life.
Because I like it. I like murder. I welcome it.
How do you feel about Uber murders? Do you ever get worried about Uber murders?
Nope.
Really?
Mm-mm.
Dear Kevin and Bean says, Cody, I'm wondering what Allie thinks about this new business. She's always worried about being murdered every time she leaves her house. Would this help? And he sent out a link to a new car service called the Chariot for Women that was revealed this week, where they will only have women Uber drivers and they will only pick up women. Does that sound like a good idea to you guys?
Sure.
Sure.
Does it sound legal to you guys to discriminate on giving somebody a ride based on their sex?
Oh.
I hadn't thought through the legal ramifications yet.
Just wondering.
Get back to you on that.
Dear Kevin and me, we got time for a couple more, right? Yeah. Something happened to me tonight that made me think of your show. This is from Andrea. I was at the Hermosa Beach and Comedy Magic Club, and the headliner got served with papers about 5 minutes into his 45-minute set.
Oh!
I'm very sad that she doesn't say who the headliner was, because it's probably someone we've heard of if he was doing a 45-minute set, right?
Yep.
The process server just walked up, handed him papers, and said, you got served, right in front of the entire dumbfounded audience. It was like something on TV. The comedian handled it with relative aplomb. He looked at the papers and said, that's hilarious, and then set them next to his drink and then continued on with its set. It made me think of that segment you did on process servers and the crazy ways they find to serve their targets. Imagine how easy it is when your mark is headlining at a club.
Wow.
If it happened to me, I wouldn't be able to think straight the whole rest of the night. But he was colossally unfunny even before he was served, and a little interruption did not much to improve his act. It may have been the person serving him the lawsuit that had the laugh that night. I hope you find humor in this story. I imagine the comedian didn't. That's memorable, though. That's something you would have.
Yeah, that's pretty strong. Remember. Pretty strong.
All right, guys. This listener writes in. This is Craig, who streams us Allie in Shirley, Massachusetts, is where he listens to the program. Guys, I think we may have an alternate diagnosis for Bean. It might not be Asperger's. He may be suffering from this affliction called Witzelsucht. Witzelsucht is the name of it. It is characterized by a tendency to make puns or tell inappropriate jokes or pointless stories in socially inappropriate situations. A less common symptom is hypersexuality, the tendency to make sexual comments or inappropriate times or situations. Patients do not understand that their behavior is abnormal, therefore they are non-responsive to others' reactions. This disorder is most commonly seen in patients with frontal lobe damage, particularly right frontal lobe traumas or trauma. Now that we have a diagnosis, I think it's time to line up the surgery. Thanks, guys and gal, longtime listener. I mean, I have had head trauma.
Yeah,
and
a lot.
I don't think I've got frontal lobe issues, but I mean, I appreciate the guy trying to diagnose me there. Yo, Kevin, yo, Bean, what's up? I just want to drop you guys a line and say thank you for having me on April Foolishness. It was one of the greatest highlights of my life and career. Thanks for putting together such a rad show for great cause. I'm honored to have been a part of something so cool. Thanks for everything, Grant Cotter.
Aww.
He was terrific, wasn't he?
He was a dick.
Kevin, he wasn't.
And finally, hey guys.
Remember when Dave chased him around the stage with a mic?
Grant.
I think he may have been concentrating more on his act and less on the fact that he had no way for the audience to hear his act because there was no microphone in his hand.
It was so good.
And finally, hi guys, it's me, Brian, from Rancho Cucamonga. I was listening to that sound drop you played of the fan talking about Justin Bieber, and I couldn't help but think that's exactly what it sounded like if Kevin the Drunkie and Doto the International Man of Mystery had a love child. I would love to hear it again.
That's troubling.
Let's see what Kevin and Doto's son would sound like.
He's Justin Bieber. He's the handsome devil that came down from heaven to make some great songs and dance forever.
I think Brian is on to something.
I think he is too, unfortunately.
Thank you for the free funny, and I really enjoy the show. That is Brian. All right. Thanks for all the email, you guys. We'll give away some Coachella tickets next right after this on K-Rock. Coachella tickets for you right now. It's time for Kevin and Bean's Listener Roki. Hit it, Steve.
Listener Roki, Listener Roki. That's the game we're going to play. Listener Roki, Listener Roki. Come and sing and don't be lame.
Allie, you can identify with these callers on hold because you had to do a little singing yourself earlier this week at 6 o'clock in the morning.
That's nice that you call it singing.
Whatever Muppet sounds you were making. Yeah. So that's what we're asking you to do, is to sing a song by any band on the bill for this weekend's Coachella in Indio, and one of you will win tickets. Who's our first contestant, Kevin?
Frank in Hacienda Heights. Hi there, Frank.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, thank you. Listener Rokey, what are you going to sing?
I'm going to sing First by Colwork Kid.
Ooh, good all song. Right. All right, have fun.
Flying like a cannonball, falling to the earth, heavy as a feather when you hit the dirt. How am I the lucky one? I do not deserve to wait around forever when you were there first.
Okay.
You get hurt.
All right. That's perfectly fine. Thank you, Frank. Appreciate that. Let's try Stephanie in Glendale. How about that?
Hi, She's Stephanie.
Go for it.
Hi. I'm going to sing Welcome to the Jungle.
Welcome to the Jungle.
Now, is that a good idea? Is that good for you, and is it good for us?
I'm hoping it's going to be good for you, as good as it is for me.
Okay.
Okay. Oh. Good luck.
Here we go.
Welcome to the jungle. We got fun and games. We got everything you want, but we know the names. We are the people that you find whenever you may need. If you've got the money, honey, we've got your disease in the jungle.
All right.
Welcome to the jungle.
All right. Okay. All right, Stephanie. Thank you very much.
Make the tape ring.
It just trailed off.
Welcome to the jungle.
All right, let's go to Brian in East L.A. Hi, Brian.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Brian, I have to tell you, I'm rooting for you here, of course, but I'm not optimistic that you can sing the song you have chosen. It's one of the most difficult songs in the world to sing.
All right. Let me know when to go.
All right.
What are you going to be doing for us? What number?
Sia, Chandelier.
Oh Sia. I bet you've got Sia's voice. All right. Good luck.
1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, drink. 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, drink. 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, throw them back. The line won't stop.
Okay, good. Yes. Yes, that was done.
I was wrong. I was wrong. He nailed it.
That's pretty good, by the way.
Didn't realize he was a tiny little Sia.
Let's go to Annie in Los Angeles. Hi, Annie.
Hi. Did Brian just drop the mic? Because I can't hear.
Well, I mean, right? It's tough to go after Brian.
Pretty much.
I know. What are you doing to me?
All right. Who are you going to sing?
I'll do Halsey, New Americana.
Halsey. All right. Love it. Here's Annie.
Thou romance turned dreams into an empire. Self-made success. Now she rolls with Rockefellers. Survival of the richest. The city's ours and beautiful. Then Monaco and Hampton, but we don't feel like outsiders.
Okay. All right. All right. You kind of went off the tracks a little bit there at the end.
Chorus. All right.
That's okay.
You don't get to sing the whole song. Okay, hold on.
She's strong at the start, by the way, but then kind of lost her way. Hey, let's go down to line 7. This is Frankie in Linwood up next.
Hey, Frankie.
Hey, what's up? How's it going, man?
We are doing Listener Rokey. What are you going to sing?
I'm going to sing Summer by Calvin Harris.
Calvin Harris.
Good one.
All right, here I go. When I met you in the summer, till my heartbeat sound, we fell in love as the leaves turned brown. And we could be together, baby, as long as skies are blue. You act so innocent now.
Okay. I feel like the phone's ringing and we don't have any control over that.
I know, we got to... Singing is hard, you guys. All right, thank you, Frankie. One more. Let's do one more, and let's make it. Is it Remberto in Pacoima? Remberto is the name?
I can't imagine.
Hey, morning, party people.
Hey, Remberto.
Hey, morning, guys. I got the Royal We by the Silver Sun Pickups on the thing for you guys today.
Okay, here we go.
We are excited.
All right. We are ready for the siege. We are armed to the teeth. We care for how you live and breathe.
All right.
Release.
Yep.
A speech for my disease. Yes.
I'm just sad American Idol isn't around anymore because Roberto would win. Yeah. All right. Thank you, sir. Guys, we got some tough choices to make.
No,
Frank,
we don't.
Brian.
Okay. Let's talk to Brian.
Brian from East LA is the answer. Let's be honest, that blew us away. And Bean didn't even expect it to work.
No.
Well,
it was so good.
I didn't know how confident Brian would be to actually go for it the way he did.
Can we hear a little more?
See a Chandelier is not a song you can half-ass.
You want to hear more?
I want to hear a little more. Just get right to the chorus.
Brian?
Oh, what does it mean? Life is a chandelier. Life is a chandelier. I have all the way down to tonight. Don't know to open my eyes.
You do good work, and you're going to do it at Coachella.
I will do it at Coachella if you guys send me there.
Yep, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying we're sending you there so you can do it at Coachella.
Oh, my God.
You're the winner. Well done.
Listen to Roki, listen to Roki. Thanks for playing our game. Listen to Roki, listen to Roki. You suck and we're lame.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 6:36.
Let's talk about a young man named Kobe Bean Bryant. Quitter. Actually, third all-time scorer in the NBA history behind Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Karl Malone. Do you guys know that? Third all-time.
Not bad, right?
Five NBA championships, all with the Los Angeles Lakers, of course. Two Olympic gold medals. Guy's had a hell of a career. Wraps it up tonight at Staples Center with his final ever game. A man who knows Kobe and has been covering him the whole time he's been playing basketball is our friend Matt Money-Smith from AM 570. From the Petrus Money Show. Hey, man, how are you, buddy?
Karl Malone now passed by Kobe Bryant.
Karl Malone does have more points.
Karl Malone
has
more points than Kobe Bryant.
So, Matt, I don't even know where to start with talking about Kobe, but why don't I just let you kick it off? What are your thoughts today as we say goodbye to one of L.A.'s great sports champions?
Well, you said it. You know, I've been covering the Lakers the whole time with you guys for the beginning of it, and then, of course, with the Lakers for five of those years and one of those championships. But the first thing that comes to mind, I had season tickets when they drafted Kobe, and he did not come into an easy situation. Now, people were excited because Kevin Garnett was kind of the first high school player, and he looked like he might be okay. He didn't have a great first year, but, you know, it's sort of the excitement of the unknown. Remember, he was going to take the place of Eddie Jones, who was one of, if not the favorite Laker during those down years, you know, but when they kind of didn't make the finals after the 92 finals appearance, Magic retires because of AIDS, James Worthy gets hurt, and they hit this reset button, and kind of the one bright, shining piece was Eddie Jones. And they draft this kid who's supposed to replace him. His first year, he talks about, he's kind of got this swagger to him, oh, I can't wait to take on Michael Jordan, I'm going to win the dunk contest, and remember, he shoots those air balls against Utah in the conference semifinals, and Shaq's kind of upset because he came here to win championships. So it wasn't this rosy beginning for Kobe. It was kind of, there was a little bit of adversity there. But because you could sort of see the explosion, the athleticism, that he looked like Michael Jordan, you know, kind of had the same body type, there was still this excitement, this hope. And certainly he cashed that in. Beginning with the 1999-2000 season when he just went on a tear for about an eight-year run there when he was probably the best player in basketball.
Well, he didn't. I mean, look, he certainly had the physical ability, but don't you think the secret to the success of Kobe Bryant is how hard he was willing to work? I mean, aren't there legendary stories of him being the first guy there and the last guy to leave and just he never let up, right?
No question. Yeah, no question. When I say the most talented, I mean just raw talent. Obviously, Shaq was in the league, and, you know, you're going to get into these crazy arguments and Twitter's going to explode and melt and all that. But what I'm saying is, yeah, you have the work ethic. You have the pieces around him. Phil Jackson shows up in 1999 to sort of guide him and harness him like he did with Michael Jordan and say, hey, this is the system in which you can play, still be successful, and we can win a lot of championships together. And you know, that work ethic is also, you know, a bit of a negative. And one of the drawbacks of playing with Kobe is that as hard as he worked, he expected everybody else to do the same. And I know it's easy to say they should have, but when you're 7'1", 320 pounds,
yeah,
it's kind of hard to have that same regimen and put that type of beating on your body that is already taking a beating every single game because guys are punching you in the kidneys and elbowing you in the head to try to get you away from the basket.
I got to tell you, though, it's strange to me that more players didn't see Kobe doing that and say, wow, that guy's better than I am, and he's staying later than I am shooting. Maybe I should do that.
I think a lot of guys thought maybe he doesn't want to go home. I mean,
maybe that was it.
Really?
Hey, see, that's there you go, Allie. You have stumbled upon the key to success. Have a
You're
terrible
welcome.
Home life.
Yep.
Exactly. You'll just stay at work.
Stay
long.
At work all day.
Matt, it's an interesting point, and I think certainly you can't teach 6'6", 220 pounds, ridiculous explosiveness. You know, a lot of that is genetics. So you have to have that particular body type. You know, those type of arms, that giant hand to scoop that ball. I mean, that's a big part of it, too.
Right. Besides obvious first ballot Hall of Fame, how do you rank Kobe all time?
He's in that, you know, elite group. I guess
top five?
No, not top five.
No.
I think top, you know, because the hard thing about Kobe, and I think this is where the polarizing effect comes in of people who don't like him, is volume shooters are always going to kind of get dinged. You know, when you shoot less than, you know, Michael Jordan shot 50% for his career. So even though he was a scorer, he was an extremely efficient scorer. So when you get into the Allen Iverson, Kobe Bryant, hey, these guys that averaged, you know, 35 points per game in a season, you're looking at, you know, missing 6 of their 10 shots. And that kind of, I guess, detracts from what that greatness is, fair or not. He's certainly somewhere in that top 15, top 10 range when you start going through it. Only a single regular season MVP. You know, like I wouldn't say he's the greatest Laker. I would put both Magic and Kareem ahead of him. So, you know, you're already third kind of on your own team. But what I guess the big problem with that is, what does it matter? You know, I mean, it's all opinion anyway. It's arbitrary. It's not like we're basing it on one particular formula or algorithm to determine who was the greatest basketball player of all time. So if you like Kobe more than Magic or you like him more than Kareem, then okay, great. It's the fact that he's just in that conversation, I think, is what, you know, you think of when it comes to how great of a basketball player was he. You can have the argument and present a pretty compelling one for him to be in the top five if you wanted to.
I would bet that most of our listeners are of the age of Kobe Bryant was their favorite player their whole lives, though.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no doubt. I mean, and that's what leads to these arguments is the generational sort of favorite. You know, well, mine was Michael Jordan because I was in high school and,
right.
and you know, middle school, and Michael
and
Jordan came
he's out. The guy you had the poster on the wall of, right?
Exactly. And if you're in L.A., it was Magic Johnson because that's the – you know, when you were in the 80s, 70s, well, then maybe you're talking about Kareem, or in the 60s, Jerry West and Wilt Chamberlain and Elgin Baylor. You know, I mean, the list goes on. And I guess that's kind of why these arguments become so fun, because you have generations sticking up for their guy.
One of the unique things about Kobe, and that's what makes this conversation possible, is he stayed at the Lakers his entire career. That's so not usual.
No, and you know, it almost didn't happen, remember? I mean, it was really close to not happening. And you know, it kind of sort of began on our show, you know, when I got a call from one of his people that said, hey, Kobe wants to come on and talk. And I said, what does he want to talk about? And she said, ask him anything you want. He's not happy. And that was the whole 2007, you know, I'm sick of this. I want out of here. The video of you know, Andrew effing Bynum, you know, when he wanted to get Jason Kidd in a trade. And those conversations progressed pretty far with the Chicago Bulls. And they just could not agree upon a package, but those two teams had dialogue and the framework of a deal of,
wow. Luol.
I mean, think about that. Kobe leaves in 07, and the Laker fans are looking at Ben Gordon and Luol Deng, and I mean, that's what was being talked about and pretty seriously.
How about that?
So, you know, there was a bit of fortune that, you know, Dr. Buss, I think Dr. Buss flew back. He was in Spain, I want to say, and he flew back and he sat down with him and basically said, look, shut up. All right, if you keep yapping your mouth, if you really want to get traded, I'm not going to be able to trade you because you're lowering your value, and I'm not getting rid of you for anything less than what I think is equal value. So bite your lip, let us see if we can figure something out this year, and if we can't, I'll trade you, but you got to be quiet. And that's when in the middle of the season they traded for Pau Gasol, and of course the rest is 3 finals appearances, 2 championships, and Kobe ends up retiring a Laker tonight after a hell of a 19-year career.
I love talking to Matt. This is Matt Money Smith from the Petrus Money Radio Show on AM 570. I love talking to Matt because he's got such a memory for all this. He's such a historian. Now, you mentioned you were with the team, part of the Laker broadcast group, for 5 years. You probably had a lot of interaction with Kobe personally. How was he to you, Matt?
He was great to me. I mean, he was really great to me. Whatever I needed, if I needed him for the pregame, he'd come on. And I think probably the best way that probably one of the best memories I have of him is when I would go on the road in the playoffs, we would just hang out and chat, and he was very good that way. And I think part of it was because he didn't really have a lot of close friends on the team. So, you know, he would hang out with the dorky pre- and post-game host and drink beers until 3 in the morning in the hotel lobby.
Money is sitting next to Kobe Bryant having a conversation and hating himself.
Right?
Kobe could do so much better than me.
You're pretty desperate if you're hanging out with the white guys on the road. I mean, come on.
Why are you here with me? What's wrong with this guy? But kind of one of the things he did that I thought sort of defined our relationship is when he won that championship in Orlando, he... You know, obviously it was crazy. It was the first time he won a title since Shaq, since 03, or 02, I should say. And he, after I'd say game had been over for about an hour and a half, and we were still on the air, and I'm sitting courtside, you know, at Amway Arena in Orlando, and here he comes walking out and sat down for about 20 minutes and said, "Dude, I wasn't going to leave you hanging. Come on."
And that's great.
You know, and that's kind of, and I don't think anybody went to tell him that I was out there. I think it was just something that was in the back of his mind that he wanted to make sure he did. So he was always good like that.
That's very cool. All right, almost out of time here, Matt. I wanted to ask, do you think it's a knock on him at all that he, or do you even agree with critics who say he should have done this 2 years ago? He's done nothing but hold the Lakers back from future progress by continuing to want to play.
I think it's fair. I totally think that's fair. But at the same time, I kind of always have the same response to people that bitch and moan about contracts and how much a guy is paying. And that's, you're worth whatever someone's willing to pay you. You know, that wasn't necessarily good. It didn't have to be Kobe's decision. You know, it could have been the Lakers' decision to say, hey, we're comfortable letting him do what many other players did. Patrick Ewing in a Sonics uniform, you know, Michael Jordan in a Wizards uniform. You know, nobody remembers that. The people were upset in the moment. But, you know, those teams, the Bulls and the Knicks, were not really held responsible for that because the players weren't what they once were. I think in the case of the Lakers, you know, there was sort of this fear. It was a $48 million payment, I think, that was based out of fear.
Fear.
He might still have something left. And if they were going to go through this rebuild and let him walk, what if, in fact, he does go to the, you know, Chicago Bulls or New York Knicks, and he's still got it.
And it turns into a Peyton Manning situation.
Right. And then they're stuck with a 16-win team without Kobe Bryant. So,
well, they got a 16-win team with Kobe Bryant this year. So.
Which I think they preferred, because here we are talking about a 16-win team on the 82nd game of the season.
Yeah, right.
The
that's
NBA
true.
Final.
All right. Well, the game is going to be tonight at Staples Center at 7:30. It is going to be on ESPN2, I want to say, for folks who want to see Utah Jazz in town for Kobe Bryant's final ever game. It's going to be very exciting. He's been a part of our lives for so long. He's still only 37 years old. So he's got a lot of life ahead of him. It'll be interesting to see what he does next. But, Matt, we really appreciate you sharing your thoughts with us, dude.
Absolutely, guys.
Thanks, man.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
And we
he's
also
in Suicide Squad, too, by the way.
He's in Suicide Squad 2, by the way.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Right? Guys on it.
Yeah.
We have two very funny gentlemen on the program today, and I'm talking not about Kevin Amin at all, ever, but I'm talking about Ike Barinholtz from the Mindy Project. He'll be joining us in the 8 o'clock hour, and our friend Gabriel Iglesias, Fluffy himself, steps in just after 7. That's on the way here on KROQ. First, though, Ali's in for Ralph with the Showbiz Beat on a Wednesday morning.
You know how I don't want to meet Conan O'Brien? He's
right.
A hero of mine. I don't want to let him down. I know there's no way for him to let me down, but there's always that thing, like, you just don't want to be disappointed.
Right.
Well, it happened to the Black Keys. They were the ones that inducted Steve Miller into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame last Friday.
Okay.
And if you've been paying attention, some stuff has come out. Steve Miller has blasted the Hall of Fame. They were charging $10,000 for extra tickets. He had one for he and his wife. And then he said, well, what about my band? They want to come. And then he wound up saying things like the music industry is effing gangsters and crooks. Talking about his label rep, I wanted to pull him by his necktie and kick him in the nuts.
He did lash out moments after receiving the greatest honor of his career.
And a lot of people are saying, well, way to go. Actually saying things that a lot of people think about the music business. But now, the Black Keys are coming out. And Black Keys frontman Dan Auerbach has had multiple sleepless nights since inducting Steve Miller into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame last Friday. He grew up a huge Steve Miller fan.
Right.
And he said the whole process was unpleasant. And Black Keys drummer Pat Carney and I, honestly, the most unpleasant part was being around him. And they left midway through Miller's performance and never came back. And I'm thinking, oh, my God, this is horrible. This is why I don't want to meet my heroes. And then I continue reading.
Okay.
And, wow. Wow, Dan, you're the douchebag.
Oh, no.
Listen to this. So Rolling Stone asked them, what did you think about what's happened the past 4 days? And this is his quote. Well, I guess Pat and I definitely, I guess we felt, I don't know, we read a lot of things and we got really uncomfortable feeling when we first met Steve. He had no idea who we were. No idea. The first thing he told us was, I can't wait to get out of here. He knew we signed up to do the speech for him and he made no effort. I mean, he didn't even figure out who we were. I don't live in New York City. It's like 3 days out of my life. Flying from Nashville and leaving my kids at home. You were angry he didn't know who you were. That's what you're angry at.
That's not really the point of the evening.
Wow.
It's not really about who's bringing on the star. It's about the star.
And then he said, it's almost like he doesn't have respect for the younger generations and how hard it is in the business today. When he made his first record, he did it at Olympic Studios. Pat and I made our first record in a basement with broken gear. Shut up! Oh, my God!
All of them
just
in this story should shut up.
Just when you think the Black Keys can't be douchier, they do this. Shut up! Oh, my God, I can't.
There are no winners in this story for you, right?
There
Zero.
Are no winners. Oh, so mad he didn't know who we were. We took time out of our schedules.
That is pretty lame. Ugh. That's the kind of thing that you think maybe, but never say out loud.
You can say I was disappointed. It just didn't go as I wanted it to. I had higher expectations. But don't make it about you. He's being inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Something he'll never do. So zip it.
Look, I like the Black Keys, but I think they misread the situation. It's an honor to be asked to that ceremony to be able to induct somebody.
Absolutely.
And the focus should be on the inductee, not on the presenter.
He made no effort to even, like, get to know who we were, man. All of these stars were born on today, April the 13th. Actor Ron Perlman is 66. Ricky Schroeder, 46. Aaron Lewis, 44. Singer Lou Bega is 41. Can I get a little?
A little bit of Monica in my life. A little bit of Erica by my side. A little bit of Rita's all I need.
Right?
A little bit of Tina's what I see. A little bit of Sandra in the sun. A little bit of Mary all night long. A little bit of Jessica, here I am. A little bit of you makes me your man.
By the way, I'm doing the speech to bring Lou Bega into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame when that happens.
Well deserved. Absolutely. I'm Ellie McCain for Ralph Garman, walking the showbiz beat.
Ladies and gentlemen, the return of Fluffy on the Kevin Abeed Show. Always one of my favorite days when I see you're on the calendar. Gabriel Iglesias, how are you, my friend?
Thank you. I'm doing fantastic.
It's good to see you. Thank you again, by the way, for helping us out with April Foolishness. 2 years in a row, Fluffy has been out there giving up a Saturday night to help us raise money for some great local charities. And you killed it again this year, man. That was so much fun.
Thank you. I had a good time. I got to meet Bob Saget for the first time. That was a lot of fun.
I was geeking out. Adorable.
You did?
He was so excited. It's amazing.
You were geeking out. So what did you say to him first? What was the first
thing? I was just like, it's so awesome to meet you. And he's like, no, man, it's awesome to meet you. I'm like, no, it's awesome to meet you. You know, right away I started asking him Full House questions and the whole thing with the new show Fuller House and how he made a guest star appearance on that. And it was just really, really awesome. I mean, you know, but I didn't know Bob Saget back in the day as a comedian. I just knew him as Danny Tanner.
Right. Mm-hmm. And he's not Danny Tanner.
No. And that surprises me because, like, now I'm in a position where I could potentially be doing a show, but at the same time I'm a little bit nervous because it's like one of those they're watching, you know, so
right.
You got to be careful because of social media and everything. They're watching your Twitter accounts, mm-hmm. your Facebook. What are you doing out? You know, are you posting yourself drinking? What is it you're doing, you know, that could potentially affect the brand?
Yeah, you got a lot more things to worry about than guys who in the generation before you did in terms of, like you said, them keeping an eye on you at all times to make sure you're somebody they want to get in business with.
Yeah. I'm under the ABC umbrella, which is under the Disney umbrella, and Disney has Twitter, too.
Yeah, they do. Yeah,
that's
they
a
do.
Shame.
It's, too bad. It's really too bad. We're working for the mouse, man.
You know, I've known that this. I've known for a long time that there has been this love affair between comedians, but it was never more evident than it was at Foolishness this year to see you hanging out with Saget and to see, you know, Jay Moore hanging out with Greg Fitzsimmons, and like everybody's just it's like you're running into classmates or something like that. Everybody's doing the same thing, they're living the same life, and they've got so much in common and so much to talk about. You all know the same people. I mean, it was just really neat to see backstage how much love there was.
It was very cool because there wasn't – I didn't feel any friction. Like, there's a lot of times whenever comics get together for big shows that every now and then there's like little riffs. Mm-hmm. And it was very cool. Everybody was very chill and everybody was getting along. It was like a high school reunion, but everybody was getting along.
Right. And I met your boy, too. That was awesome. Your son was there.
Oh, yeah.
What's it like – what goes through your mind when you think about the way you grew up on the mean streets of Long Beach in that Section 8 housing and the way your son grows up, which is, hey, let's go to Vegas on my private jet?
I mean, he has no survival skills.
Oh, no. No,
I love him, but, man, he's an Uber kid.
Oh, no. Zombie apocalypse is not going
to
be good to
him. He's an Uber kid. I spoil him way too much. I mean, it's to the point where he turned down a car.
He turned down a car.
Yeah. Well, I was trying to inspire him to get his driver's license. And all his friends were like, dude, you're stupid. Get your license, man. And I offered him a 1958 Volkswagen Bug pimped out.
Oh, man.
And he didn't take it.
Do you still have it?
Yeah. And I named it after him. I named it Frankie.
I'd like Frankie.
And I pimped out the car more. And I drive it more now. And I pick him up in it.
Can we have Frankie?
Yeah, right.
Why did he turn it down? Just because he'd rather have people drive him around?
I think so. I mean, you know, I got him to go to the DMV one time. He took the test. And he was just like, I didn't pass. Oh, well. I'm like, no, what do you mean? Oh, well. You go back and you try until you get it right.
You do it 100 times in a row if you have to. So fascinating, Fluffy? Because I bet you were like me, which is you were counting the freaking days until you could get that driver's license.
Yeah, and it took me 4 times to get it.
I took that test
4 times. But see, back then it was like you fill out the little paper. Now it's an iPad.
Right.
And if you get 6 answers wrong, that's it. Test over.
Oh.
At least back then you got to see what you got wrong and you could study it. And, you know, if you were lucky enough to get those questions again, then, you know, you'd score them. But now it's so, you know.
And do you have a conversation with him and say, hey, man, what, you know, come on.
I've had the conversation a million times.
And what's
so
his
is his mom. I mean, he's just a chill kid. He gets good grades and he's just not as motivated. I mean, he has his stuff that he wants to do. I think he's just a hippie. He's actually like a hippie kid. He's like, oh, I'll just walk, Dad. I'm good.
I'm like, really? What kid says that? That's hilarious.
What kid in LA says that?
Trying to get him to get a car. I'm like, okay.
Yeah. I mean, I guess there just have to be times, though, where, of course, it's your inclination you want to spoil your kid because you love him. You want him to have an easy life. But on the other hand, you know he's not going to be under your umbrella forever. And at some point, he's going to have to know how to survive and live on his own. You kind of have to force him to learn how to do things.
I'm going to have to die for that to happen.
Oh, no.
Dad's not here. Okay, I'll grow up.
Certainly hope not. Now I got to grow up. Gabriel Iglesias in studio with us here at the Kevin DeBeat Show. He is back, by the way, with another season of Fluffy Breaks Even, which is the greatest idea for a television show ever because you go around the whole country and eat the best food in every city free. Now, I didn't see I missed the season opener. Were you in Hawaii?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we had to kick it off right. We were in Hawaii for a week taping this show. And for those of you that don't know, it's basically the ultimate food show / fitness show. You had to put a twist on it. We went out and we ate at all these amazing Hawaiian restaurants. And then we worked off the meals by doing a mud run.
I know you enjoy the first half of every episode.
I love the first half.
Not so much. What kinds of weird foods do they eat and did you try in Hawaii? Because I know they've got a lot of crazy fish stuff down there.
Oh, they do have a lot of crazy fish stuff. But you know what? Our show is eating stuff that looks good that you like. Mm-hmm. I'm not doing that show where the guy eats like, you know, octopus brain and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's not good for anybody.
Yeah, no. All the food was pretty good. I mean, if anything that's weird, I probably eat a lot of spam. But I love spam. I mean, I grew up on it.
Nobody loves spam. Spam.
Yeah, it's
zero people love spam.
My mom loves spam.
I mean, it's okay at best. Though,
anyone
right?
from Minnesota loves spam, and Hawaii
really?
Too. Hawaii is the other place that's huge.
Loves.
Yeah.
Huh.
I could eat that stuff all day.
When I saw you looking at the surf, I was like, no.
He's
no,
not going
please,
surfing.
No, please, no. Because those waves are ridiculous. I was thinking, oh, well, this is the last episode. Okay, good.
Yeah, first and the last. But no, it was a lot of fun doing the show.
You lost a ton of weight. In fact, when we first started hanging out with you, I think you were on the tail end of losing how much? A couple of 100 pounds, right?
It was a little over 100.
Okay, over 100 pounds. So you're in a pretty good position on the show when you have to do all these physical challenges, the workout part of the show, because you've been there and you've done all that. But some of your friends that are on the show with you, the other comics, they look like they've never exercised in their lives, and they hate you. I mean, the death rays that are coming out of their eyes at you with the stuff that you make them do.
They love the ratings, though, and they love the fact that when they go to the comedy clubs, they can sell tickets.
Yeah,
now.
Sure, yeah.
they suck it up. They suck it up. One of them in particular, his name is Rick Gutierrez. Very, very funny guy. He's been a touring comic for over 20 years, and he's now starting to get those recognition from the show. And he's out on the road right now by himself, and he's selling tickets, which is awesome.
Let me ask you about that, because we were doing the opening act contest like we do for April Foolishness, and there's so many comedians that are out there. They're working every night. They're good, really good to great, and still they can't break through. Why is that?
It could be for many different reasons. I think nowadays, if you're funny, and it's probably because you're not utilizing social media the way you should. There's so many free things out there. I mean, YouTube, you can get yourself out there. You don't need a sitcom to sell tickets. You just gotta need a good YouTube channel. You need good social media. You need people to talk about you, share. You need to go viral. And a lot of times these guys are just like, let me just focus on the stage and I'll be okay. And it's like, that can't be the case. You got to worry about your whole business. Mm-hmm. That's when people say, oh, you got to be involved from the specials, all the marketing, whether it's a poster, whether it's a T-shirt, whatever it is, you need to be involved with it.
And that's why you, at your point, when you don't need to do all that stuff, double down and do all that stuff even more, right?
Yeah, I get nervous because then you're putting yourself, in someone else's hands. Mm-hmm. And then if it goes bad, then you can't get mad because you took yourself out of it.
It's so funny, Fluffy, whenever we have you in, because you're one of the biggest comedians on the road today. I mean, you sell out the freaking Honda Center a couple of nights if you want. I mean, you are set. You are fine.
Yet you
still worry that it's all going to vanish.
And I think you need to keep that frame of mind, because once you get comfortable and you nest, then you stop working hard. You stop giving it 100%. You're just kind of like, eh. Like, I give a lot of credit to Jay Leno, because Jay Leno would never unpack his office. He always had that box in the corner where any minute now,
is that right?
Any minute now they're gonna pull that rug out, and I'm gonna be out.
Well, he has been a guy who did. He worked as a stand up comedian all throughout the Tonight Show.
Yeah, he never stopped.
And never spent his money from the Tonight Show, from what I understand. It was just the stuff on the road.
I've seen the cars. He spent it.
Okay.
Yes. He got me started on that.
That out. Fluffy is here. The show is Fluffy Breaks Even. It airs Thursday nights at 10 on Fuse TV. It's really a lot of fun, by the way. And we got more questions for our guests when we return right after this on K-Rock. By the way, the Los Angeles Clippers are in the playoffs. If you want to win tickets, we're giving them away for you right now. You can call us at 1-800-520-1067. Game 2 of the 2016 NBA playoffs at Staples Center, the Clippers. Call now if you're a fan. We got a game that you can play to win coming up in minutes here on K-Rock. How you holding up, Fluffy? All right?
Not bad. So it's Kobe's last day.
Yep. Mm-hmm. That's right. That's Lakers tonight. Yeah. How you feel about that?
You know what? 19 years. That's not shabby. I just celebrated 19. It's funny. We both started in 97.
Wow.
Yeah. That's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool.
Are you a big basketball fan?
You know what? I'm more of a – yeah. I
what's your
say.
Sport? What's your favorite sport?
Wrestling.
Really?
Yes, I love wrestling. I'm a huge wrestling fan. A lot less disappointing.
You know, I remember how it's gonna go?
One time you were on, I think we got on this topic, and you were talking about how much you wanted to be on the WWE Monday Night Raw. And a lot
it still
of people,
hasn't, yeah.
It still hasn't happened, because a lot of people were tweeting at them to say, hey, put Fluffy on. He wants to be there. They never got to you?
Mm-mm. And you know what? And two nights ago, I think Dr. Phil was on.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
yeah,
why?
Dr. Phil.
Why are they wasting it?
That's unbelievable to me that they wouldn't look at you and your fan base and think that it's a perfect match to have you on that show.
I'm telling you, I've gotten phone calls from NASCAR. NASCAR has actually invited me to come out and hang out at Daytona 500 at multiple events. Mm-hmm. Whatever you need, whatever you want. You want to sit in the pit crew? You want to change a tire? They'll let me have free reign of NASCAR. It's awesome. But WWE has eluded me.
What do you want to do? Is your goal like to hit somebody over the head with a chair, or what are you hoping for?
That would be freaking awesome. But they don't allow chair shots anymore because of concussions. But no, just anything. I mean, just to stand in the middle of a wrestling ring would just be a dream come true.
I wasn't incensed about this until you said Dr. Phil. That's absurd.
But a lot of times they have, you know, entertainers on the show who are not really fans or just there to promote.
Right.
Like if I were to do Monday Night Raw, I wouldn't go on to promote anything. I would just say I'm a fan. I just want to play for
just
the
be
day.
A part of it, right?
Just take a bunch of pictures and hang out, and I'd be in my glory right there.
Did you watch 32?
I caught the highlights of it. I was in it was the first time I've missed a WrestleMania in probably the last 7 years. I've been attending.
Wow.
The first 4.5 hours were awesome. Yeah. The Roman Reigns.
Then it slowed down a bit.
I can't. You know my feelings about Roman Reigns.
You hate Roman Reigns.
You're not a Roman Reigns guy?
He's not a thing. Stop making him a thing is my whole point.
It sounds like Fluffy might be down with Roman Reigns.
No, hey, I was more of a Seth Rollins guy.
All right.
Over 100,000 people at WrestleMania 32. That's an audience that you need to be in front of, Fluffy.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. I think that's his point.
We've got to make it happen.
And see, Shaq was in WrestleMania 32, but Shaq is a legit fan. He loves wrestling.
Yeah, but Dr. Phil forgot.
I didn't think this could get any worse, but apparently it knows no bottom.
That's what we're saying, Dr. Phil. Gabriel, I do have one question for you about eating, because since we've talked to you, we have found out that our man Bean eats pizza with a knife and a fork. He eats sandwiches with a knife and a fork.
Not all sandwiches, like the greasy, like a grilled cheese sandwich. I'll
grilled
eat with
cheese,
a sandwich. Not peanut butter and jelly. I'll pick up a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Oh, you're crazy,
but a sub
man.
Sandwich you eat with a knife and fork.
I prefer knives and forks on most foods.
What's
yes.
up with that?
If it's French toast, I get it, because you got the syrup and the butter and all
that's
that stuff.
That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about
an actual sandwich.
Pizza.
I've never eaten a sandwich with a knife and fork. I have had I've gotten a little bougie and eaten pizza with a knife and fork a couple
Thank
times.
Thank you, Fluffy.
A couple
because
times
it,
I've done
because
it.
Because it's got cheese and it can melt on you. It's
well,
got sauce.
I was on a,
that's the
I
definition
was on a,
of a pizza. He's just described
that's
pizza.
Why you eat it.
You know why I did it? Honestly, because I was on a date with a girl that was doing it, and I didn't want to be the barbarian. Picking up his pizza.
Come on.
So you
By
did
the way,
it.
I, did it because, I did it because she was doing it, and I'm like, well, you know, if I eat this pizza like this. And, you know.
Speaking of pizza, I want to put in a plug for the next, I think it's the next Fluffy Breaks Even, where you and the guys go to San Francisco. You went, is this the
Tony's.
One that's coming up this week? Right,
Tony's,
you went to Tony's, and it looked to me like you guys might have agreed that it is the best pizza place in America, and it's in San Francisco of all places.
The guy is he's super talented. He's won multiple awards in Italy for having the best pizza. I mean, Italy, that's like, you know, winning a contest in Mexico for having the best burrito.
Yeah.
And he actually
and you
sells
live in
something
Nebraska, but it's,
called
it's
New York pizza, and and your guys thought it was as good or better than actual pizza from New York, which is, you know,
we've eaten
it
a lot of
pizza. It's ridiculous to say that out loud, but
Tony's
real,
pizza
though, right?
is no joke. If you guys get a chance to try it out in San Francisco, some of the best pizza I've ever had.
No
I mean,
kidding.
He gave us a margarita pizza that was like, oh man, you make a face. You know when you just bite into food and you're just like, oh
yeah.
Oh, and it's just, you
oh,
got
yeah.
that. Mm, yeah. Oh.
I'm getting hungry just hearing you talk about that pizza, by the way.
It's amazing pizza. It's
getting uncomfortable
so good.
Right now.
getting so
it's probably making the wrong kind of noises for you, kid, right? And then you guys go right out.
I think
after.
He's on Pornhub.
And then you guys go on right after that and CrossFit, which just looks like the worst experience of anyone's life having to do that.
I did not like CrossFit. CrossFit
no.
is just like, here, let me put a 2-hour workout in 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And I feel like any workout that has trash cans for you to puke in. I don't want any part of
you
it.
You think maybe that's just the wrong way to go?
Here's your bucket in case you need to puke. No.
Yeah, that out the bat, just mentally, it puts you in that frame of mind of where, oh, this might not end well.
Yeah.
Fortunately, I kept it together. The only workout that made me do that was we worked out with Roy Jones Jr. We did a boxing workout.
Is that right?
Really?
And man, that just it leveled me. I couldn't keep it in. I had to run to the bathroom.
Really?
Yeah.
Now you don't shoot these things in order. Like you didn't go right from the pizza parlor to the CrossFit.
No,
right?
No. It's usually we do it the following day, so we've had at least a day to, you know, digest and everything.
Okay.
Some of the food is very, very heavy. Like the pizza was really, really heavy.
Mm-hmm.
Knife and fork.
All that dough.
Didn't no stop you from eating a lot of it, no though, I'll tell you that.
No knife and fork.
Well, the show is very funny. It's called Fluffy Breaks Even. So it's Gabriel and is it four? It's four of your guys, right?
Yeah. Rick Gutierrez, who's out on the road right now somewhere in, I think, Dayton, Ohio. Mm-hmm. And G. Riley, Martin Moreno, and Alfred Robles. So it's,
yeah,
it's
a great crew.
It's all of us. We're out there. And it's funny because we're always out on the road together anyways. So it's one of those. We just added a camera and a real workout.
It's a lot of fun. Thursday nights at 10 on Fuse TV. Follow Fluffy on Twitter at FluffyGuy. And the website is FluffyGuy.com. Always a pleasure to have you in, my friend. Thanks
for you guys.
We'll see you soon.
Thanks.
We are at the end of the NBA regular season. Tonight is Kobe Bryant's last game at Staples Center playing for the Lakers. I think tonight's the night that the Warriors are going to go for the all-time winningest record in NBA history, if they can win tonight. And, of course, the Clippers, great victory last night over Memphis. I think they won by 26 points. They are in the playoffs. We don't know who they'll be playing, but it looks like game two of the NBA playoffs at Staples Center, Los Angeles Clippers. You're going to be there at 1-800-520-1067 if you can win in a game we like to call Total Recall.
Total Recall, that's the game that we play. If you want tickets to the Clippers in the playoffs, oh yeah! Total Recall, Clippers playoff tickets, that's what you will win. All you have to do is recall.
All right, your callers are lined up. Kevin, how is this one played?
We are going to give you 10 seconds, and we're going to ask you to name five things. Name five things in 10 seconds is basically the game. Some will be related exactly to the Clippers, some will not. You just have to figure out what it is, and then you've got 10 seconds. Now, the 10-second part is what would kill me.
Yeah.
Because you can think of two things, and then you go, that's about it.
Yeah.
So we're going to try that. We're going to start with Walter in Los Angeles. Hi, Walter.
Yo-yo.
Yo-yo. Are you ready?
Not really.
Okay.
Okay.
Excellent. The first one is just to see if you're a fan, by the way. In 10 seconds, name five current L.A. Clippers. In 10 seconds, name five current L.A. Clippers. Go.
Chris Paul, J.J. Redick, Johnny Jordan, Blake Griffin, Jamal Crawford.
Wow. Nice. Look at that.
How about that?
With time to spare.
Time to spare. Well done, sir. You are in the drawing. Please hold on.
All right. That was
That's
impressive.
A great contestant right there.
No kidding. All right. Let's go to Jose in Pomona. Hi, Jose.
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, Ellie.
Hey, Jose.
All right. The LA Clippers play their home games at Staples Center, which also hosts many other events. In 10 seconds, name five non-NBA events that have performed at Staples Center. Hmm. In 10 seconds, five non-NBA events that have performed at Staples Center. Go.
The LA Kings.
Yes.
Beyonce.
Yes.
Muse.
Yes.
You can hear the gears grinding. He was definitely headed in the right direction, but just ran out of time.
But he started with Kings, so should we give it to him?
Nope. I feel like we
should. Okay, sorry. WWE, we were just talking about with Fluffy, X Games, lots of concerts, of course. But nice try anyway. You're a good contestant. Sorry you didn't win.
Thank you for the call. Let's go to Wes in Burbank. Hi, Wes.
What's up?
What's up? Total Recall is what's up. You ready?
Yeah.
Chris Paul is the NBA All-Star guard for the Clippers. In 10 seconds, name five other famous people named Chris. In 10 seconds, name five other famous people named Chris. Go.
Chris Brown, Chris O'Reilly, Chris Dodd.
Who the hell is Chris?
Chris Patterson, Chris Lee, Chris Trippy.
Are these your friends?
I think you're making up a lot of those.
What do we do if we don't recognize the name?
I gave him Chris Lee because I was thinking Christopher Lee, the actor who died. I gave him Chris Christie. But Chris Pineworth or whatever. What was it? What you said?
Did you say Chris Pine?
No, Chris Rock.
Chris Rock,
Chris
right.
Rock,
we got
right,
that
that's
one.
Three.
Did you say Chris Patterson?
Yes, he did say Chris Patterson.
Who's that?
An actor, I thought.
Yeah.
Chris Pratt, maybe?
I don't believe you hit five in 10 seconds, but thank you for trying anyway. What got me was the confidence with which he delivered those Chris's that he was clearly making up.
All right, let's try Jason.
Let's try to game the system here, young man.
He almost got us. Let's try Jason and Chino. Hi there, Jason.
Hey, how you doing?
All right, you ready?
Yeah.
Doing Total Recall. Chris Paul's last name is Paul.
What?
In 10 seconds, name five other famous people with the first or last name of Paul. In 10 seconds, five other people with the first or last name of Paul. Go.
I got nothing.
What?
Paul Pierce.
Yes! He got one!
How about I got nothing right off the bat?
Jason. How about Paul McCartney, by the way?
Or Paul Rubens?
Yeah, Paul McCartney.
Yeah. Paul from the Bible.
Paul Rudd. Paul Giamatti. Newman. Come on.
Yeah, there's a lot of Pauls.
You're a terrible person.
All right, I think we have time for one more contestant here, Kevin.
All right. Let's go to Carolina in Whittier.
Hello.
Hi there. You ready?
Yes.
We are doing Total Recall. Doc Rivers is the head coach of the Clippers. In 10 seconds, name five other famous real or fictional doctors. In 10 seconds, name five other famous real or fictional doctors. Go.
Dr. Who? Dr. Wu? Dr. Oz?
Yes. Okay. Yes.
Oh. Dr. Drew? Dr. Dre?
Dr. Wu? Dr. Oz? And Dr.
Phil? Right.
Wait, who's Dr. Judy? Wu?
Dr. Seuss?
Who is Dr. Wu?
Dr. Wu?
Yeah.
I don't.
Okay. I don't either.
I heard of Dr. Wu. There is a Dr. Wu.
Oh, there is. Okay. Yeah.
I've heard of Dr. Wu, but I'm sorry you did not get into the competition. It looks to me, if I'm doing the math correctly, that Walter are going to be our winner for LA Clippers playoff tickets.
Hold on. We got to do the drawing all official. Like.
Okay. Yeah.
The winner is Walter.
Walter!
Yay!
Congratulations, Walter!
Did you? Got it, B?
You got the tickets. Thanks for playing the game.
Oh!
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:53.
Ike Barinholtz joins us in studio next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. And don't forget, just after 9 o'clock, we're going to give away Lakers tickets for tonight. The final chance to see Kobe Bryant in person at Staples Center. We'll tell you when to call in. That's later this morning here on K-Rock. Allie's in for Ralph now with the Showbiz Beat on a Wednesday.
Remember yesterday when we talked about Megan Fox on the red carpet and she was noticeably pregnant?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And people were saying, well, how can that be? She's getting a divorce from Brian Austin Green. That can't happen. And then some people inquired, well, maybe it's not his kid.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she has taken to Instagram. And Instagram pics of three of her recent co-stars, Shia LaBeouf, Will Arnett, and Jake Johnson, with the hashtags... Hashtag not the father.
That's kind of funny.
That's amazing. I like her so much. But she actually is pregnant, and it is Brian Austin Green's kid, and there is no way that she's not filing for divorce. No plans to drop the divorce. It just happened. People get pregnant. Sometimes you file for divorce. Sometimes you bone the guy you're separated from. That doesn't change things.
But you can't. A woman can't get pregnant if she's not married, though, Allie.
Oh.
Right?
You're right. Or in a jacuzzi, I hear.
Right.
I've heard that, too. Yeah.
I've heard that.
It's science.
Yeah, it is science. But I think that's pretty funny for Megan Fox to go on Instagram and hashtag not the father with three dudes that I'm sure, just because she's in a movie with them, everyone assumed maybe they could be the dad. That's just funny.
She has been... really funny on The New Girl this season, too.
I agree.
She's really good. She really is.
Yeah.
Speaking
I mean,
of...
I guess you have to be when you gotta, you know, you go through life being ugly. You know, you just have to develop other skills
to
make up for it someplace.
She's become a good actress. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. That's a good point. Lindsay Lohan. Lohan?
Did you say Lohan?
Really?
Different person.
Lindsay Lohan.
Porn actress.
Lindsay Lohan is engaged to be married, so we think.
Wow, that's...
Yeah.
Wow.
She has been dating this guy for about 5 months.
Somebody's looking for a lot of drama right there.
Well, here's the thing. He's a Russian heir. His name is Igor Tarabasov. He's 22 years old.
Okay.
Apparently, his family has a ton of money. Have you heard anything from Lindsay lately?
No, not a word.
So maybe this is good.
Maybe this is
right?
good.
We haven't heard bad things about Lindsay in a long time. Maybe things have changed for her. She's found love. She's on the up and up. TMZ actually has pictures of her with both her nutty parents, both of them together at a Duran Duran show this past weekend.
No kidding.
So she's uniting her parents. They're not acting out. And she is wearing one hell of a rock. It's an emerald with diamonds all around it. So, I mean, good for Lindsay. Who's with me?
Sure.
Okay.
You know the Armenians from Russia? I call them Tylenol. They call, they say, let me take your pain away.
Was that your Russian tie-in?
That was his Russian chunk, apparently.
It's an Armenian comedian there with the comedy.
That just happened. All right. If you were wondering about Harrison Ford's jacket that was up online to be
$50 million.
It's his jacket from The Force Awakens. It went for big bucks.
$100 million.
No.
$12.
$191,000. Going to two causes close to his heart that both fund research for epilepsy. So he signed the jacket. It's going to somebody. What would you then do with the jacket, do you think?
Well, I always wondered that. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. A display. I think it'd be worth spending a little extra money for some sort of display case to keep it safe.
Sure.
But then don't you get the idea that all your friends would go, is that really? And you'd have to keep going, yeah, it's really. Yes, it is.
Here's an article right here. It's real.
Oh, no, it just seems annoying. Why? Okay. Why? What did this person do with it?
We don't know. I'm just wondering, if you get something like that, would you wear it?
No.
No.
Really?
No. You don't spend $130,000 for something and then wear it.
What about $191,000?
That you would wear, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that's not a problem.
Not sure if you guys saw this. I did. Kate Hudson's Snapchat story involving an NFL player.
Oh, I did not see this.
Out on a date. Taking a Snapchat, trying to get the stars on his head, because she had stars on her head. Mm-hmm. Apparently, that's one of the apps that the kids are using on the Snapchat.
Yeah, it's one of the filters you can use.
Yeah. She's on a date with 27-year-old J.J. Watt from the Houston Texans. Huh?
Oh.
I know.
Oh.
Right?
And that's an age difference of how much?
She's 36. He's 27. Okay. It's not really a big deal.
Not too bad.
But,
all right.
A lot of people are saying, oh, who doesn't she date? Okay, she was married to the Black Crowes lead singer, Chris Robinson. Has a son with Matt Bellamy from Muse, which I fully support. Anytime you can have sex with Matt Bellamy, do it. And yeah, she made a few missteps, Alex Rodriguez. But let the woman live.
Right?
I'm saying. J.J. Watt, who is sort of annoying when it comes to like how much he's always posting, like, here's me and my grandma. I love her so much. Peace out, Nana. Like, we get it. You're a good guy in the NFL. But I support this, Kate Hudson, in case you were wondering.
I'm sure she was, and she's probably very relieved now today to know
that. I said, get it.
Yep.
36?
Get it.
27? You can get it, Kate Hudson.
Yum, yum. Give me some of that.
Not sure we were saying that, but thank you so much. All of these stars were born on today, April the 13th. Actor Ron Perlman is 66. Actor Ricky Schroeder is 46. Singer Aaron Lewis is 44. Actress Allison Williams is 28. And a happy birthday. 41. Didn't you think he was older? Mr. Lou Bega.
I didn't know he's still alive, but
a little bit of Monica in my life, a little bit of Erica by my side, a little bit of Rita's all I need, a little bit of Tina's what I see, a little bit of Sandra in the sun, a little bit of Mary all night long, a little bit of Jessica, here I am, a little bit of you makes me your man.
I wouldn't listen to that song if it came out on the radio, but I enjoy the 20 seconds a year we spend with it on Lou Bega's birthday.
I agree. That's enough. Right there, that's enough. I don't need any more for another year.
Well, good. We'll revisit this next year.
Okay.
I'm Allie McCain for Ralph Garman, walking the show this week.
Got more tickets for you to join us at Coachella this weekend, coming up in less than 1 hour from right now on the Kevin and Bean Show. And as we have been reminding you all morning long, we're going to be looking for your Lakers haikus just after 9 o'clock as well, as we celebrate Kobe Bryant's final game in uniform tonight at Staples Center. This controversy between Gene Simmons and the members of NWA shows no signs of slowing down, Kevin.
Now, how'd this start? NWA getting in the Hall of Fame?
No, it started before that. Gene Simmons he's one of the singers and the bass player for the band Kiss, and they were inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame a few years ago. But he has had a problem with the definition of rock and roll. He complained when Grandmaster Flash was inducted. He complained when Run DMC was inducted. And his argument is, it's not rock and roll. It could be good music, but they don't sing and they don't play guitar, so it's not rock and roll. So he doesn't think they should be admitted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. He doesn't agree with the definition.
Okay.
So it really heated up this past Friday night when they were doing the ceremony in Brooklyn, when MC Ren from NWA, as part of his induction speech, called out Gene Simmons from the microphone and said, I want to say to Mr. Gene Simmons, hip-hop is here forever.
And Gene Simmons couldn't let that rest. He had to come out and say, well, let me, the next day he comes out and says, hey, let me know when Jimi Hendrix gets into the Hip Hop Hall of Fame. So it just keeps going back and forth. Ice Cube addressed it as well. But we thought, rather than just see sound bites in the news, why don't we talk to the man himself? Our friend Gene Simmons back on the phone from the band Kiss, and he joins us on K-Rock. Hey, Gene, how are you, buddy?
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. Ali, Chip, how are you?
We're good, thank you.
We're doing great. I don't know why you feel like this is a fight you want to fight. I don't know what the upside is for you, sir.
Well, I have to represent all the artists in rock and roll. It's not just about Kiss or Gene Simmons. By the way, kissarmy.com, you can get the new Kiss toothbrush, if you'd like.
Toothbrush, okay.
But it's not just about Kiss and Gene Simmons. This is about all artists in rock and roll who write songs and play guitar and drums and keyboard and whatnot. Because although I respect hip-hop music and N.W.A. and certainly Mr. Ice Cube, I it's not rock and roll music. It's not.
Okay, you say you respect it, but didn't you also have an interview earlier this year where you said you can't wait for hip-hop to die? You think it's on its way out and it's not going to survive?
It's true. I mean,
so that's a good read on your part.
to be honest,
it's a good read.
I think that I respect what these artists have done. Certainly, artists like Public Enemy and N.W.A. You know what they've done for the African American community, and I respect what they do politically. But I feel like to just talk over a pre-recorded beat is really like an alternate entry into the music industry. Ali McKay, speaking of alternate entry,
No, sir. That's not what we're doing here.
No, sir.
But, Gene, what about...
Thing, no, let me just say this.
Yes, okay, go ahead, sir.
This fight has been going on for a long time, and I do find it funny that MC Ren and Ice Cube choose right now to make a big point of it and take it to social media, considering that the Barbershop movie comes out this Friday. You know, something's really fishy here.
Okay, so you think it's just publicity for them?
Nope. No, you can't,
I'm saying,
sir,
that something's a little bit fishy.
Ryer,
I wanted to know if Chip had something fishy for me.
This isn't about you hitting on women. We're trying to have a serious conversation here about the definition of rock and roll.
Let's have a serious conversation.
Okay.
Let's have a serious conversation.
All right, good.
Okay? Here's the reality of it.
Okay. All right.
For Ice Cube to say that Chubby Checker and what's so funny? I hear chuckling.
Nothing. Just go ahead.
Okay.
For Chubby Checker.
And Little Richard and Chuck Berry, and that they invented rock and roll, and that essentially white artists just repackage it.
Right.
You know, there's a gaping hole in that argument.
Come on, Gene. Nope.
Frankly, I'm a little bit hurt that you're interrupting me.
I felt like we heard gaping hole, and we were afraid of what the next sentence was going to be.
I felt like maybe that was going to be.
Speaking of gaping hole,
yes. No. Let me ask you this, Gina. This is one aspect of the argument we have not discussed. Which is,
wait, I'm sorry. Did you ask if I was interested?
Yes, I am, Gina. Yes,
why
I am very
not,
much so.
Why not spread the love?
You don't have a type at all, do you, Gene? Like, anything goes. Any port in a storm, as the expression goes, right?
I prefer living people. I mean, that's...
I wasn't even thinking that.
So living, okay.
Discriminate, yeah.
Right. All right.
I am a bit busy. Can we speed this up? Because
I'm sorry.
I'm preparing for our surprise performance at Coachella. I don't know. I mean, maybe I shouldn't say this on the air.
You're doing Coachella?
Right now, Paul Stanley and I are in the studio, and we're making sure that the pyrotechnics and the musicmanship and also just the stage performance is completely airtight. Speaking of that, Kevin, would you like to join me?
No! You know you can't just show up at Coachella, right? You know you have to be invited, Gene.
Is there any room for the Marriott?
That's an excellent question.
Dude, Ike is in Ralph's seat. What do we do about that?
Well, if Ralph hadn't gone all Hollywood on us.
Right.
And shooting his pilot for CBS.
Right.
Oh, is that the rumor we're spreading now?
Rehab.
I heard, and I really shouldn't say this out of school, but I heard he refused to work this week because he heard Ike Barinholtz was going to be on the show, and he said, I'm not having any part of that.
I think that was the part we weren't going to say when
supposed to say that. I'm sorry, yeah.
Present. Well, because... guess what? Guess who's here now?
That's
guess
right.
Guess who won? Guess who won this battle? This star battle.
Ralph, who's sleeping right now instead of doing this nonsense.
Yeah, of course he is.
Ike, how have you been, my friend?
How's it going, guys?
Going well. Great.
It's good to hear Ice Cube in that promo. Old friend. I was in the original N.W.A.
You were?
Oh, were you?
I didn't realize. I don't remember that incarnation with the white guy.
I was the white Jewish guy in the movie. They made me Paul Giamatti, and they made me the manager.
I see.
Okay. But I was one of the original rappers. I was replaced by MC Ren eventually. But I was all right. Well, anyway.
I think they might have made the right choice there. But you've done all right for yourself.
What song did you do? Can you do a little of it for us now?
I did the songs. It was about investing the group's money mostly. I'll be honest, it wasn't the most popular set of songs.
But I'm saying if anyone would know it, you would.
Yeah.
So give us a couple.
You know, it was like, get a Roth IRA, get your money stowed away. That was just kind of the very beginnings of...
How did they not like that?
I don't know.
That's so good.
Well, I hope Cube's doing well and all those guys are doing well. I miss him. I wish they would reach out to me.
Since they blocked you on their phones, you can't touch base with them.
Block me on their phones, Twitter. I'm right. Like 300 yards from their house. I'm not allowed. That's a hardcore restraining order.
Well, listen, Ike, you're the busiest guy in Hollywood. We have so many things we want to ask you about because you've got so many things coming up. But why don't we start with the big news this week about Mad TV making
a
return. Now, I did not realize that you were a Mad TVer, but you were on that show for a long time.
I was on that for 5 years.
Why wasn't I watching Mad TV?
You know what?
How is he supposed to answer that?
Yeah, man. Well, you know,
tell us.
Go watch a bunch of seasons right now, and then I'll come back in like a week, and then you'll be briefed.
who was on with you? Because I was stunned to see this week in all the press about Mad TV how many famous alum have come out of that show.
Yeah, I joined there in about 2002, and it was kind of after the original kind of old guard left, like Nicole Sullivan and Will Sasso. So I had Key and Peele on there, those two geniuses. Michael McDonald, Mo Collins, one of the funniest ever. Nicole Parker, Krista Flanagan, just like really, really Frank Caliendo.
Sure, we know Frank. Sure,
yeah. So we had a really, really great cast and great writers, and it was a really, really fun show. And whenever I go to, and I want to feel good about myself, I just go to Universal Studios and all the workers are like, I love Mad TV.
What's the format of the new show? Like, they'll have you come on for one episode and you'll host as if you'll
They're
host
making me audition to be a featured cast member, which
true.
I think is ridiculous.
I don't think that's true.
Sure. I have to do an impression of the dad from Frasier again? That's ridiculous.
That's still hot.
John Mahoney? That's insane. You know what? I actually don't know. The owner of the show, a guy named Dave Salzman, he reached out to me and I was like, ooh, I got a little scoop. Oh, guess what? I was talking about the crew at Mindy. I was like, Mad TV's back. And one guy's like, yeah, I know. It's on Deadline. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. Well, I think I knew technically before you. So I don't know what it's going to be. I imagine I read that they're going to do some old sketches mixed in with some new current stuff, which is good because there's so much stuff to make fun of right
sure.
now.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm really excited. People were really, really excited to hear
now,
that.
Now, Mad TV certainly had its fans and was on for many, many seasons.
Yes.
But was there rivalry with you versus the Saturday Night Live cast at the same time or no?
You know what? It was more I think it was more on our end. We were kind of like, you know, I think the original producers of Mad TV, not the owner, but the original producers were like, let's take down SNL, which is kind of maybe not a great idea because SNL is, you know, the most famous show ever.
Right.
I don't think SNL thought about us a lot because they were too busy like getting ready to do a sketch with, like, you know, Paul McCartney riding Prince like a dog or something. I don't know, some crazy sketch. Like, and then Bill Clinton comes in.
If they did that, I want to watch.
Yeah. But you know, it was at the time I was on Mad TV, the SNL cast at that time is what I kind of consider to be the best SNL cast ever. It's like Will Ferrell and Amy Poehler and with Kristen Wiig and Bill Hader and Fred Armisen.
So there was none of that takedown SNL.
No, it was all just like we would just watch SNL on Saturday. Like, that's a really good sketch. But also we were all friends, kind of. Like, we all came from Improv Olympic or UCB or Second City. So there was a kind of this familial aspect where it wasn't like competitive for us.
Were you Mad TV was West Coast, right? And SNL was East Coast?
Yeah, we shot over on Las Palmas and Santa Monica. And
So you were Pac and they were Biggie. That's what you're saying.
Basically. And, you know, right? When I shot Bill Hader,
remember that.
I feel bad about it still because he has a little bit of a limp now.
Right.
But
that was a rough rap beef.
It was a really rough. Nothing lamer than sketch comedy beef. Yo, man, I don't respect your characters. Yo, man, that impression of Joe Millionaire was garbage. It doesn't work as well for sketch comedians.
So help me understand this, because you and Amy Poehler, who we just saw together in Sisters,
yes,
you guys go back back all the way to Second City in Chicago, right?
Well, yeah, you know, actually, I started working at Second City as a busboy when I got kicked out of college, and Tina was like kind of the big star at Second City, and Amy had just left to go form the UCB in New York. But like she would always come back and teach classes, and I was, you know, all the guys had crushes on her, and it's like, oh, she's so funny.
It's just so crazy for you, like when you're doing Sisters, to sit around with Tina and Amy and go, I can't believe we're all still here making a living in this business.
Three girls, three best friends.
Right.
You know, just, no, it was so fun because they really are such wonderful people and such great family.
Did you date either of them coming up?
Did I date either of them?
Mm-hmm.
No. In my head, I had relationships with them.
I was
going
to ask if you wanted to, yeah, because everyone wants to.
Everyone wanted to. I mean, Tina has always been with her now husband, this guy Jeff, great guy. And Amy had always had, you know, the various boyfriends.
Someone cooler than you.
Right? Somebody cooler better. And more successful and better looking. So it really wasn't much I could do.
But aspirationally, you were in it.
In my head, full relationship that I ended on my terms.
Ike Barinholtz is here on the Kevin and Bean Show. You make a brief passing mention to the Mindy Project, but you are back with new episodes on Tuesday nights on Hulu.
Yes, season 4B starts. It started yesterday.
Were you surprised? Of course, this is the new dynamic, is as long as there's somebody out there willing to see a show, there's some place to take it because there's so many avenues now. You don't have to rely on being on a network. But were you surprised that Mindy survived leaving Fox?
You know what? I kind of wasn't. We knew that Hulu had kind of bought the first three seasons of our show. So kind of towards the end of last year when, you know, new Fox heads came in and they were – at the end of the year, we always had this kind of tension, like, are we going to come back? We kind of knew that there was –
It would work out. You had a backup plan.
We had this parachute. So then when the show got canceled and like hundreds of tweets like, OMG, I'm going to kill myself. I'm like, don't do that. Like, I can't tell you, but it's gonna be fine.
But had your show been canceled, they should have – gone ahead with it?
Yes. Okay. And that stands for next season or the season afterwards. I don't want to be responsible for anyone hurting themselves, but I think it's important to let the fans speak their mind. But so we always kind of had a feeling that it was going to work out, and it did. And Hulu has been
How does it feel? Does it feel different?
As
far as making the show?
Hulu is – their kind of model is like – we hire the creators and the writers that we trust, so we trust their vision.
So you go do your thing.
Yeah, it's very similar. The only difference is like when you're working for and Hulu, you don't have to pretend to like American Idol. Yeah, he was a great singer. Great to meet you, dude. It's great. Yeah. I love when you sing a terrible version of an Elton John song. Great. But no, it's very similar, and the fans have really moved with us.
How about in terms of censorship and jokes that you couldn't get away with on the network? You got a lot more flexibility and freedom on Hulu, right?
We definitely do. We show lot of full frontal nudity now.
I mean, I don't think that's true.
The whole first 20 minutes of the show is just
mad. I haven't seen that at all.
I have it on my phone. I'll show you guys a cut.
All right.
Yeah. No, you know, we have the ability to go a little further, but we also know our brand, and I think if all of a sudden you had like a, you know, a PG-13 show on a network, and all of a sudden it becomes like a hard R, I think people might be like, "Whoa, what? This is
not
what
the
I signed
show
up
I
for."
Liked, right?
Yeah. So, but it does give us. There's a few words that like we would always fight standards on Fox, and we're just like, "Really, you can't say G's?" I mean, literally, we had a whole conversation about this.
We have those same conversations.
I know.
All the time.
I know
it's
you
absurd.
Guys do. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
It's just people guessing.
It's guessing. It's arbitrary, and it's just people kind of justifying their jobs. Yeah. It doesn't make sense. But the good news is that on Hulu we do have that kind of freedom to kind of just go the extra, you know.
But you won't. I like that.
We won't. We have restraint.
The Mindy Project new episodes are available Tuesdays on Hulu. Ike Barinholtz is here in studio. When we come back, we want to talk about
Neighbors 2.
Yeah, we want to talk about Neighbors 2.
Talk about that.
We want to talk about Suicide Squad, although I know you won't tell us anything. We want to talk about Central Intelligence.
Sure.
Man's got it going on.
Let's do it.
With Ike right after this on K-Rock. Writer, producer, actor from The Mindy Project on Hulu, Ike Barinholtz in studio with us now on The Kevin and Bean Show, doing a little air guitar to Queens of the Stone Age.
I'm the backup bass player for Queens of the Stone
Age. Didn't know that either.
You have such rock and roll cred. Yeah. We had no idea about it.
I started the band with Josh.
Uh-huh.
You started it.
I did start it.
I didn't realize that. Okay.
We got in a bit of a fight over the sound. I wanted a bit more of a like acid jazz sound, and he really wanted the hard rock stuff.
Right.
And we talked it out with the band, and you know, I lost.
He won.
I angrily left the band, but I wish them well, and I'm glad they're doing well.
I'm glad there's no hard feelings. Are you cool enough, Ike, to go to Coachella or no?
Oh, no, 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 no. I watch reruns of the show Coach.
That's your version of going to Coachella.
Yeah, I sit, I put on shorts and I watch Craig T. Nelson yell at Dauber.
All right. Well, you've got a good weekend planned then.
Yeah, no, no, no.
You know how to live.
Yeah, Coachella's not, it's not good for me. It's too much sun and music. And maybe like 15 years ago I could have gone, but now.
It is funny, though, because both of the things that you mentioned, sun and music, are good things.
They're both great.
But I guess what you're saying is there's too much quantity of each.
I think there's a version of Coachella that's like palatable and really, really, really fun and great. And then there's also the version where it's like, it's 104 degrees. You're paying $14 for a bottle of water, and just like Andy Dick is vomiting on you.
Right. That's and likely to happen to someone this weekend.
Yeah. So to me, it's much safer to stay at home
and watch
television.
I've not had the Andy Dick experience. I feel like I'm missing out.
You need to be a VIP. You need to have a VIP Andy Dick experience ticket. Yeah. Right. It's a whole.
By the way, the version of Coachella you want lasts about 2 hours, and it's in an air conditioned room near your house.
Yeah. It's just me and my wife watching House of Cards. That's all it is.
All right. Let's try to talk about some of the stuff you have coming up, because in addition to new Mindy projects every Tuesday on Hulu, you have so much in the works, including Neighbors 2 with my man crush, Zac Efron. So you're now friends with Zac. If I looked at your phone, is his number in there?
It is.
How about shirtless photos of Zac? Are they in there too?
Yeah, they're sure. Well, he's sleeping. I snuck into his room. We have this joke where he'll be asleep and I'll sneak into his hotel room when he's sleeping and just take a lot of photos of him sleeping and stuff.
I like that joke very much.
Does he know that joke?
No, no. It's like a super inside joke. Only I know about it. And now you guys. And if Zach found out, he'd be really angry.
Yeah.
But it's like a fun kind of way for us just to kind of like show our friendship.
How fun are those movies to make? Because they look like they would be a blast.
Oh my God. So, so, so fun. I mean, like Nick Stoller, who's the writer and director, is just such a great guy, and Seth Rogen and Evan are the most fun. And we shot this one in Atlanta, and just like we got so fat and like ate Southern food all night. And then, but it's really, really fun. It does make you feel old, because some of those kids, like in this one, it's all about like sorority girls, right?
Oh, poor you. I
know it's rough,
it's rough,
but I do remember, and not to like double up on the word coach, but. But I remember we were shooting one night. It was really late, and Chloe Moretz, who's in the movie, mm-hmm. I said to her, I go, "What are you doing when you rap?" And she's like, "Oh, I have to go do stuff for Coach." And I go, "The sitcom?" She looks at me and goes, "What?" And I go, "What do you mean?" She goes, "Like the fashion company?" Like I go, "Oh." I felt like such a loser.
No, can I take that word back? Can I just take?
Oh, of course. I don't even know what the show Coach is.
No, that's crazy.
But yeah, it's really fun. I just saw it last week. It's completely insane. And if you liked the first one and thought it was insane and troubling, then this one you're really going to like.
And you improv the crap out of those movies, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, Nick Stoller is definitely kind of from the Judd school of, you know, we have a version that we know works on paper. It's funny. It's got good jokes. We got that a couple times. Let's start to open it up a little bit. Seth Rogen is an amazing improviser. Whatever you throw at him, he just got it.
Can I hear an impression of him?
That was pretty good.
That was the shortest impression I've ever heard.
It was just like... It's like, oh, yeah, oh, cool. I got to go to my trailer for a second. And I'm definitely not smoking weed. So don't worry.
All right, I have to ask one Zach question because he is my sweet boy.
What?
And that is
my sweet boy. Oh, he's my sweet boy.
I know that we're 10 years past High School Musical
creepy.
and the height of Zach mania. But what reaction does he make today when he's walking down the street in public?
We were actually shooting this. There's this giant tailgating scene that took like over a week to shoot, which is, it's like Mad Max. It's just this crazy scene. And Zach is in basically like short shorts the whole time. And as we drove, me and him and Seth drove past like a gaggle of fans, there was like a 14-year-old girl, like a 25-year-old girl and like a 65-year-old woman.
And then Bean.
And Bean. And they were all screaming. I was like, Zach, that's like three generations of women that want to sleep with you. And it really is, it's pretty impressive. I can't get one generation.
He must be so exhausted just trying to handle that many women all the time.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's got a girlfriend who, she looks like one of the X-Men. She's so, like, beautiful. But, like, he handles it very well. And he really is, like, a super focused guy. And, like, he's definitely one of those guys where he's, you know, when he's shirtless, you know, he puts a lot of work into it. And he's like, you haven't had water in 4 days. And I'm like, oh, no, you should have some.
Well, he will be mine one day.
All right.
Oh, my God.
He's hot. What is going on in Seattle?
No kidding. I just I can't stop. All right. I love too much. That's my problem.
Yeah, let's move on.
Suicide Squad.
Holy crap.
Can you say anything about it? I know this is one of those where they pull your fingernails out if you talk too much, but what can you tell
David
us about
David Ayer every morning calls me and goes, if you say a word, I'll kill you. No, it's, I have not seen it yet. It was an insane experience to shoot.
And Leto is crazy?
Leto is crazy. Leto is the Joker, and everything you've heard is 100% true. He's totally, like, immersed himself in the role and really, which is good. Like, you need a guy. If you're playing the Joker, like, you don't want a guy that's like, God, how good was the Mad Men finale? Oh, hold on, action. you don't want that. Like, you want, like, a guy who's going to, like, send dead rats and, like, walk around and, like, you know, point at you and run away. Like, you want that crazy energy. But that was good to have that because the rest of the cast were, like, kind of so fun. Like Will is, like, the nicest. Like, Will's the kind of guy where you're, like, you'll be talking to him and you'll be like, oh, I love ping pong. He's like, oh, you love ping pong? You like ping pong? Cool. And then, like, the next day, there's like 11 ping pong tables surrounding base camp. You're like, oh my God. Like I said to him one time, I was like, oh man, we're shooting the scene. I was like, oh God, you know, that's the night of the Pacquiao Mayweather fight. He's like, oh no, I'll handle that. Don't worry. And I was like, oh, maybe we'll like watch it in this trailer or something. And like, he literally took like a soundstage and bought three movie theater screens and had like 1,000 people come and found like,
is he afraid of you?
I think so. That like must be what it is.
Like he's terrified.
He's intimidated by my success.
So there's money, and then there's Independence Day money. That's what we're learning, right?
Yeah. And Will's one of those guys like, oh, I just throw money at people. I want people to have money. Like, he's like a truly, really great guy. So it was.
We should have him in.
You should have him in. Just mention things you like.
Right? Yeah.
You know, God, I love puppies, man. Oh, you like puppies? You like puppies? Cool. I got you. All right, cool. They're going around 100 puppies will be at your house.
You know what I always think about, and I'm very excited about Suicide Squad, but remember when Nicholson played the Joker in those Batman,
yes,
that Batman movie, and everybody was like, well, that's it, now the Joker's been done and no one should ever be the Joker, and
yes,
that's the best Joker that will ever be and it can never be better. And then Heath Ledger came along and
yes,
did something completely different that was every bit as good or better than what you'd seen before, and you're like, well, that's it, that's clearly the all-time Joker.
Yeah.
And now somebody like Jared Leto, who we all know what a great actor he is, he comes along playing a completely different kind of Joker, and I just can't wait to see what he does.
Yeah, he's super, it's super cool, so creepy and disturbing. I think, like, we're hitting the high watermark for creepy disturbing, so now we have to go back to kind of, like, I think, like, Gabriel Iglesias could play the next Joker. You know what I mean? Like, someone.
You don't want to go too far because he'll start killing people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But, like, someone, like, I mean, it really is, like, disturbing. And when he comes on set as the Joker, like, everyone is scared. And you know,
I
listen,
love that.
You know it's a movie, right? Because you're on set and you're an actor. And, but, like, you're still like, I hope I don't die.
Oh, I can't wait. All right, our remaining moments with Ike Barinholtz here on K-Rock. You wrote a movie called Central Intelligence, and I don't know anything about it except that The Rock is in it, and Kevin Hart is in it, and Aaron Paul is in it, and a whole bunch of other people.
Small independent film.
Sounds like it. Crazy, right?
Crazy. My partner Dave Stass and I wrote this movie years ago, and every year it seemed like another actor was going to kind of come on board. Will Ferrell might do it, and Ed Helms, and you know, and then this guy Ross and Thurber, who ended up, he did like Where the Millers and Dodgeball. He was like, oh, I like this idea, and blah blah. Let's work on it, and then once Dwayne gets involved, like Dwayne could like take this conversation and be like, I want to make this into an action movie, $400 million, and it will happen.
Right.
Like, he just makes stuff happen.
He's got that kind of power.
He does. He does. So, but yeah, I just saw the other day. It's so crazy. Those two guys, just like looking at them on screen, they're like, I mean, Kevin is just so high energy and small. And Dwayne is just giant. He's wearing like a fanny pack and Public Enemy t-shirts. He's like, his character is like this amazing CIA killer, but he's like such an annoying guy. So it's really funny, and I think people will like
it. Now, do you write this and walk away, or are you involved in shaping the movie as it's being filmed too?
You know what? We wrote it, and we wrote a couple drafts, and then the director, who really was a great guy, he would, you know, say to us, hey, you know, let's take a look at this scene. So we were working on Mindy at the time, so we weren't, you know, around to do as much, but he definitely, you know, reached out, and whenever we could just, you know, give a hand, we did.
What
do
a year!
You ever walk in and just say, "I have some notes."
I have notes. Around. Dwayne, you're doing it wrong. Right. What are you, stupid? No, I'm sorry.
I think this sounds great, but I heard a script, and this is all I needed: Amy Poehler, and it's Leslie Knope. By way of Kenny Powers. And I was I don't care what's happening, make that movie.
That movie is I mean, we are in the kind of final stages of writing it. It's Amy Poehler is the first NBA female head coach. And it is, it was her idea, and my partner Dave and I, we've been writing the draft and rewriting it. And it's really, I mean, if you like Amy Poehler, this is like her, like, this is her movie, man.
It's as good as Whoopi's version.
Eddie, it's a remake of Eddie.
Better be as good as Eddie.
But the weird thing is, Amy is playing Whoopi Goldberg in this movie.
Oh, it's a weird decision.
I think politically we're in big trouble.
That is meta.
But there will be an audience somewhere.
All right, let me say this as we say goodbye to you, Ms. Brandholtz, and that is, you are at the cusp of the biggest year of your career with all these things that we've talked about.
Wow.
And the next time we reach out to you to try to get you on, you're going to be such a big star, you're going to want to say no to us.
Who is this talking right now? Who are you?
Exactly. All I'm saying is, just remember that we were there when you weren't the biggest star in the world, and we'd like to have you back sometime.
You guys have photos of things I did in the green room here last time, and I don't want those to get out, and so you kind of own me.
We don't say it out loud, but that's the understanding.
That's the understanding. Don't make this your last appearance is what I'm saying.
Never. Right? And our one of our guys, Jay, on the Mini Project, who I know is listening right now, he said to me, he goes, don't screw up before you go on Kevin and Bean. I was like, all right, man, I won't.
Well, thank you, Jay. We appreciate it. The Mindy Project, new episodes every Tuesday on Hulu. Ladies and gentlemen, the great Ike Barinholtz.
Thank you guys
so much.
Thanks,
Ike. To be honest, I was a little uncomfortable with how much Bean was asking about Zac Efron.
You know, sweet boy.
That was weird right there.
I have kept that tamped down for a number of years.
Continue. But it just...
Tamped the crap out of that one. I saw those that shirtless scene in the Neighbors 2 trailer, and I was just getting all fired up again.
Great.
Good-looking man.
Sure.
Yep.
Hey, we got a great half hour still ahead here on the Kevin DeBean Show, including another chance at Coachella tickets at 9 o'clock. And then after that, we'll be looking for your Lakers haiku. We're going to give away tickets so that you can be at Staples Center tonight to see Kobe Bryant's last ever NBA game. Both of those things are coming up on KROQ. First, though, in for Ralph, here's Allie with the Showbiz Beat.
What exactly is a haiku again?
A listener emailed and demanded that we have Kevin explain it.
Okay.
It is five syllables, seven syllables, five syllables.
Mm-hmm. And it's a poem.
Yes.
But it doesn't have to rhyme.
Right. Like, that's obvious.
No, I'm sharing that with listeners who may be preparing their haikus.
Why are you so mad about haikus?
Because it's my art of choice.
It's your jam.
Yeah, it's my jam.
Okay. Did you get hurt by a haiku as a child? And it's too painful to bring
I'm just
up?
Saying, I thought everyone knew that.
Okay.
Like, if you were to do a haiku about Kobe, what would yours be?
That's personal.
It is. Keeping it close.
Maybe I'll
that.
Share it in the next half hour, but not now.
All right. Don't call now on Kobe, because we still have Coachella tickets first, and then Kobe. We'll explain it all after the Showbiz Beat.
It's time for the Showbiz Beat.
So good. We mentioned this earlier, but if you missed it, Dave went for the Guinness World Record twice for longest TV watching.
Continuous TV watching, yes.
And
he beat the record by about 25 hours both times.
Both times. But both times you guys didn't keep track of it correctly. What happened?
The first time there was a record-keeping snafu.
Okay.
And I think the second time there was a video recording.
Yeah, I think the tape ran out at some point. We were supposed to record all 100 hours of him watching TV so that the Guinness Book of World Records people could go back and make sure that he was awake for all of it. And somehow the cameraman fell asleep,
we
I think.
No tape or something.
And we didn't record it.
For like 3 hours.
So he set the record twice and didn't make it into the book.
Well, there's a new record holder.
Okay.
He is from Brooklyn, New York. His name is Alejandro A.J. Fragoso. He now holds the Guinness World Record for the longest TV binge-watching marathon, staying awake for 94 hours in front of his TV.
Which still isn't as much as Dave did.
The
first time Dave did 100 hours.
In case you're wondering what he watched, this guy gets me. He watched back-to-back episodes of Game of Thrones, Curb Your Enthusiasm, Battlestar Galactica, Twilight Zone, Bob's Burgers, and Adventure Time. I like it.
Hmm.
What would you guys watch?
A lot of sports.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of sports.
I have been looking for the time to go back and watch all of The West Wing. And I think that I would start there. I think I would start with 7 seasons of The West Wing.
Aren't there some rules about not being able to watch pre-recorded stuff, though? I thought we ran into that problem, that issue with Dave.
Yeah, I don't remember.
We had a lot of issues with Dave.
Yeah, I don't remember.
All we know is he destroyed the record twice and didn't get credit for it.
Do you think we should revisit that?
Yes,
we've been trying to talk him into it, but he's like, "No, I'm not going to do it again."
I don't want to watch.
Hell no!
Oh,
come on, Dave.
Right. That sounds.
You could be
serious.
In the book. You could be in the book.
Wasn't it fun? Wasn't there some part of it being fun? And a bunch of listeners, Dave, remember, came back and watched with you and cheered you on.
Yeah, it still wasn't fun enough.
Remember the TV times?
No.
Come on, Dave.
Nope.
We're all just people.
Nuh-uh.
All right. All of these stars were born on today, April the 13th. Actor Ron Perlman is 66. Actor Ricky Schroeder, 46. Singer Aaron Lewis, 44. Actress Allison Williams is 28. And our favorite Mambo number 5 singer, Lou Bega.
A little bit of Monica in my life.
I feel like that's enough.
That's enough. He turns 41 today. I'm Allie McKay, and for Ralph Garman, welcome to Showbiz Beat.
With the 13th pick in the 1996 NBA draft, Kobe Bryant from Lower Merion High School.
Time has wings. You know, even when you realize that you need to appreciate the time, it still goes by fast.
I am a 17-year-old kid, but at the same time, you know, now it's time to go in there and it's time to do some work.
How good is this kid?
The best part of basketball, so many things. When you win, you don't want to let that go. So it doesn't turn off the work. It doesn't turn off the competitive spirit. It turns it up.
You know, there is never anything quite like the first NBA championship.
You don't want that to go away. You want it again.
The LA Lakers, the 2010 NBA champions.
I'd always known that this window was going to come.
I hope people appreciate what we've seen from Kobe Bryant.
Kobe Bryant has blessed us with 20 unbelievable years.
Think he's going to cry tonight at the end of the game?
I would imagine if he's a human being, yes,
yeah,
I would imagine he would.
I think you're going to cry, Kevin, while you're watching
I know
it?
I am, yeah.
Well, I can't believe this because we're such a low-budget show, but we have for you a pair of tickets to see Kobe's last game as the LA Lakers take on the Utah Jazz tonight at Staples Center. By the way, I don't even know if we've mentioned this. These tickets are in a suite, mother effers.
Correct.
These are in a suite.
You're mad at people now because we didn't say that?
No, I'm just saying we haven't brought this up, but that's also very special. It's a very cool, comfortable way to see a game is what I'm saying. And we're giving away tickets right now for you at 1-800-520-1067. We have to give the King of Mexico all the credit because it was his idea that we give these tickets away with the best Kobe haiku.
Kobe haiku, hi! Should I start with mine?
Oh, yes. Do you have one?
Just
to absolutely.
Get people in the mood to know exactly what they're doing?
Yes.
All right. Kobe is the greatest. Old is old. Life is for the living. Am I right?
Wait. Do the first one.
Kobe is the greatest. Old is old. Life is for the living.
Allie's counting syllables.
Wait. Am I right?
It's 575?
Yeah, that's what it's supposed
to be. Kobe is the greatest. You're
okay, so I'm doing greatest in one, though. I'm doing greatest in one. I'm the greatest.
But it's two.
Greatest
one.
But am I right? Is am three right? syllables at the end?
Yeah, but that's
though.
Also that's a fourth three. Line. But I felt like that.
What's happening? That's not a haiku.
Yes,
at all.
If a haiku is really great, no. It can be four lines.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
That's the way I understand it.
All right. Well, Evan. I would prefer our listeners stick to the more traditional definition of a haiku.
Well, you're not going
to
get better than that, but I mean, I guess we could try.
Let's go 575. All right. Ears up, everybody. Let's pick a winner. Who's our first contestant?
Ears up.
Yes.
Candace in Glendale.
Candace, I know there's a lot of pressure on you because Kevin has just redefined what a haiku is.
Well, I mean, thank you.
But we're eager to hear. Are you a Lakers fan, first of all?
Yes.
All right, well,
and you're sad. All right.
I got my fingers crossed for you. I hope you win the tickets for tonight. Let's hear your Kobe haiku.
Kobe haiku, hi!
8, 2, 4, 5 rings. 20 years, loved or hated. Thank you, Black Mamba.
Okay, again, good. I think way too many syllables, but I appreciate the effort.
Good.
Thank
like
you
it.
Very much. You hang on,
we're
Candace.
We're not going to disqualify anybody on syllables, though, are we?
Well, that's not a haiku.
I know, but come on.
Worst.
You guys and your rules, man. You're the man. Jeff at Lake Forest. Hi.
Hello.
Are you ready for your show me haiku?
That's yes, the beginning
I'm
of
ready.
Jeff sounds pissed at us already,
that's
by
already
the way.
Already mad. He should be.
All right, here
this
we go.
Rough, this is a rough.
Show me haiku. Hi. Oh.
All right. Sorry, Jeff. Go.
All right, 5 championships, 81 on the Raptors, 1 Hall of Famer.
All right, that's pretty good. I mean, it's really just good. Reading his bio, but it's still pretty well done.
It's funny to watch Allie count on her fingers, though. She's literally 1, 2, 3. All right, let's go to Julian in Walnut.
All right.
All right.
Let me get my poet voice on.
Kobe haiku, hi!
Killer assassin. Black Mamba mentality, try and surpass it.
Oh, and
ooh,
it
I liked that. That actually
that felt good.
That felt real good.
I felt that in my lady parts.
Yeah, I felt that in my lady parts. That's how impressive it was, Julio.
Wow, it's so disturbing. Rob and Marina Del Rey.
Hi, guys. What's up?
Kobe haiku. Hi.
All right, I think I've had enough of that
That's
guy.
That's what's up.
Rob, let's hear your Kobe haiku playing for Staples Center. Sweet tickets for tonight's game.
24-8. Thank you for all you have done. L.A. will miss you.
That was a haiku.
All right. Okay.
That was a haiku. It has been right. ruled.
Okay. Sound like you. A greeting card. Thank you for the call.
All right. Let's go to Steve in downtown Los Angeles. It's easy to judge other people, Bean, when you're not coming up with a haiku.
Right.
Dick.
What's
Steve,
up,
hi. What's
Kobe
up,
Kobe Bryant?
Kobe haiku, hi!
All right, let's hear it.
All right, I'll start all over.
All right.
Kobe Bryant, woo! Colorado, boo hoo hoo! L.A. Laker, woo!
Okay, you took us on a journey with that one.
Okay.
Very nice.
All right, good.
I mean, that it did cover the whole
sure.
man's last 20 years.
Let's go to Joe in Long Beach. Hi, Joe.
Hey, guys, Allie.
Kobe haiku, hi!
All right, please stop playing that.
Nope.
All right, Joe, you're up for your Kobe haiku. Let's hear it, sir.
All right. Kobe, you the man, a.k.a. the Black Mamba. Always love the hate.
All right.
All right.
That's a haiku.
Okay.
It's
something,
been ruled. Something to think about there. Love the hate.
Allie's so judgmental.
All right, we only have time for two more. Let's try Mike in North Hills and see what he's got in his mind today.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Welcome to
Kobe Haiku. Hi.
Ready?
Yes.
Kobe is the man. Lakers fans love the Mamba. Tickets for me, please.
Made it personal. Mm. Okay.
I like
well
it.
Done, Mike. One more.
Let's go to Trent in Riverside. Hi, Trent.
Hey, guys.
What are we doing?
Kobe haiku, hi!
All right. Black Mamba was great. He shot 81 one game. You should let me go.
I feel like you sort of bailed on that last line. Sort of bailed.
So because he shot 81 one game, we should let you go?
Yes.
Okay, all right. I just want to make sure I understand. All right, there you go. There are your competitors for Kobe Haiku. I wish I'd kept better notes. Who was the guy that we felt in our lady parts? Was that,
I think
that
was Julian? Steve.
I thought that was Julian. That's
my thought.
I mean Julian.
Julian.
Well. My thought
okay,
was Julian.
Well, what was Julian's?
I thought Julian was the one about
really?
The assassin.
So now we're going to have to
Hey,
Julian.
Do I need to read it again?
Yes, yeah, read it again.
Let me get my poet voice again.
It's you, but let's hear it again.
Killer assassin, Black Mamba mentality, try and surpass him.
Yeah. I'm sorry, guys. For me, that for my money, that's the winner.
I'm
right
pregnant.
There.
Julian, how do you feel about being at Staples Center tonight in a suite to watch history being made as Kobe Bryant plays his last game?
Man, so excited. My girlfriend's going to freak out.
All right, don't sell these tickets, man. Use them and go and have fun, okay?
Yeah, awesome. Thank you so much.
Thanks for playing.
I think we got time for one more look at the showbiz beat here on a Wednesday morning. In for Ralph Garman, here's Adam McKay.
All right, yesterday, all the news about Megan Fox on the red carpet. She was noticeably pregnant, and people were wondering, well, what's going on? She filed for divorce last year from her husband, Brian Austin Green, who she has two other kids with. What's going on? And people started thinking, well, is it his baby? We don't know. Well, she has put any rumors to rest by posting three of her recent co-stars on her Instagram. Shia LaBeouf, Will Arnett, and Jake Johnson, all with the hashtag not the father.
That is funny.
It's just good. I mean, if you could meet something head on and be like, listen, it's not, this isn't how the narrative's going to go.
You guys ever, you're going to say this is creepy, but do you guys ever spend any time thinking about how Megan Fox got pregnant?
Is this thing on?
Back to you, Allie.
She has no plans to drop the divorce. The pregnancy just kind of happened. What did you just do, Kevin?
Well, I blew up and it just completely cut out. So I thought I ruined it. And then it came back on and then I
tapped it. Your breath is that bad.
Yeah, well, maybe.
Oh, that's not true. Mm. We were talking about how maybe not hearing about Lindsay Lohan is a good thing. We haven't heard of her trashing any hotel rooms, any crazy benders, anything like that.
It
so
seem
maybe
to be every time you heard about her, it was negative.
It was negative. Yeah. But now, maybe some good news for Lindsay Lohan. Apparently, she is engaged to be married to her 22-year-old Russian boyfriend, Igor. I respect his name right there. I just think it's good. Apparently, she met him through mutual friends at a party, and his father is a multi-millionaire businessman. And she was seen at a Duran Duran concert in New York with both of her parents with her. Those two can't get along
to save their lives.
So she's at that concert with them as well as her supposed fiancé wearing a stunning ring. Huge emerald ring with diamonds all around it. So who knows? I say, Lindsay, you're doing the right thing. You're staying out of the news. Things are on the right track.
All right.
Lindsay Lohan.
Right.
Yeah. Good stuff. Not staying out of the news, this whole Steve Miller being inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. He was inducted on Friday, and some stuff came out that he was a bit of a pain in the butt backstage. He was complaining about how he only had a ticket for him and his wife, and they were going to charge him for $10,000 for other tickets if he wanted the band to have tickets for their wives. He wound up saying things like the music industry is effing gangsters and crooks. Talking about a label rep saying, I wanted to pull him by his necktie and kick him in the nuts. You know, just delightful.
Stuff like that.
Delightful things like that. Well, now the band that actually was the one that did the speech before him and inducted him into the Hall of Fame, they're coming out. And it is Black Keys frontman Dan Auerbach said, he's had multiple sleepless nights since inducting Steve Miller into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame last Friday. He was a huge fan of Steve Miller growing up, and he said the whole process was unpleasant.
So does he feel like it reflected poorly on the Black Keys that they brought the guy to the stage who then was so disparaging about the Rock Hall? Is that what he means?
Well, no, no. Here's where it gets really interesting. He said, for Black Keys drummer Pat Carney and I, honestly, the most unpleasant part was being around him. And the group wound up leaving midway through his performance, and they never came back. But then it's this quote that has a lot of people saying, hold on, it's not about you. He said, well, I guess Pat and I definitely, I guess we felt, I don't know, we read a lot of things and we got really uncomfortable feeling when we first met Steve. He had no idea who we were. No idea. The first thing he told us was, I can't wait to get out of here. He knew that we signed up to do this speech for him and he made no effort to even He didn't even figure out who we were.
Okay, that's...
So, you're making it about you, and you're bummed that he didn't do his research on the Black Keys before his induction?
That's not what it's about, by the way. Steve Miller wasn't inducting the Black Keys into something.
Right.
He didn't need to know about the Black Keys.
Yeah, I think they're a little sad that their hero didn't know who they were.
Where's the good part of the story?
No good part. They're all a-holes, every single one of them.
Okay.
It's good stuff. All of these people were born... On today, April the 13th, actor Ron Perlman is 66, actor Ricky Schroeder, 46, actress Allison Williams, 28, and singer Lou Bega.
That's not Lou Bega.
Mambo number six.
Yeah.
I had no idea. Very good stuff. I'm Allie McCann for Ralph Garman. Walk the Showbiz Beat.
Thank you, Allie. Brand new internet roundup tomorrow morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. We talk to Jim Rome like we do on Thursdays. We talk to Dr. Drew like we do on Thursdays. We have tickets for the Clippers in the playoffs. We have Coachella tickets.
Wow.
We have Alana Glazer on the program tomorrow.
Oh, nice. I love her so much.
And we're going to talk to Ryan Getzlaff about the playoffs.
And you're going
to
be nice, right, Kevin?
I'm
because
always
you respect
nice.
Him as an athlete and as a competitor.
Although he did get in a fight last time he played the Kings and lost.
Are you going to try to charbroil him on the phone?
Charbroil him.
I'll try to do that.
Well.
That's tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.